requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, PL 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied, in that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board at Borough Hall, stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Would you all please rise and join me in the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May I have a roll call, please?
Weaver?
Here.
Powell? Deoni? McDonald?
Here.
Pendleton?
Here.
Higgins?
Here.
Hoyle?
Here. First up on our agenda, we have a council appearance by our Municipal Alliance representative, Mrs. Dorothy Rupture. You have something pretty interesting for us here, I think.
Yes, we do. Thank you all for the time and consideration in order to bring this information to all of you. Last year...
Excuse me, ma'am. Can you speak in the microphone?
Well, sure. No problem. Last year, when we came before council, there were some concerns regarding the funding that we were asking for in the amount of 100% cash match, which primarily took care of the transportation costs for the middle school summer rec program. So with that in mind, we looked very, very hard this year as to what we could do in order to reduce that amount of funding coming to the borough. And those things that are good come to those who seek, and the state instituted this year a change in the accountability for municipal alliances. They are looking at directly at results, outcome. Therefore, the amount of reporting that is done went from 2 forms to 9 forms quarterly. With that in mind, Franklin Township, which is a very small alliance, decided that with the amount of funding that they received and the amount of paperwork, that it was not worth for them to be able to continue on. The letter that I've submitted to council basically says that the Franklin Township Alliance would very much welcome combining with the Washington Borough Alliance, therefore combining our funding. And with combining that funding, what happens is that we are only allowed to give 1/4 of our total funding to any one program. So basically, with the combination of this, what it allows us to do is that we have a bigger pot to be able to provide for. So what ends up happening is, with the combination of the two alliances, is that the 100% cash match, which was $6,528, would now only be reduced down to the $1,958. Franklin Township has already agreed for their commitment of the cash match in the amount of $1,197, so they will take care of that for us. So that's basically why we are here today. One is to seek council and mayor's approval to proceed with the grant application process, and the second is to formally, in the form of a resolution, combine both alliances together. Washington Borough would be the primary control. I will become the coordinator of now the two joined alliances. Does anyone have any questions?
Is this for calendar year 2011, or is it for the school year that's just started?
Ours runs for the calendar year, January through December.
So it would be for the 2011
right.
calendar year?
Correct.
Okay, and well, I guess that's all I have. Any other council members? Mrs. Gleba?
I have a couple.
Sure.
I guess, look, maybe you could just even show me on the spreadsheets and then the application. It looks, when I read it, that it's $3,155 for the borough. Where does it say on here and here that we're only responsible for? So this is
the 3,000 cash match, I believe, is the combined.
This is combined between the two of them?
That is correct.
Okay, and then I was just curious why on the this form or this application that there's no one signing, or there's no mention of Franklin, like, as far as like
basically Franklin Township is passing a resolution to, in essence, dissolve their alliance, and it will become under Washington Boroughs. So the application is basically, it's a Washington Borough application. I talked to the coordinator as to how exactly that our grant application will be submitted to the county, and basically said, call it whatever you want to. So if you want to call it Franklin Township Washington Borough, that's fine. You know, you could just be the Washington Borough Municipal Alliance, and you're covering portions of Franklin Township, however you want to handle it. We had a meeting with the representatives from Franklin Township on August the 18th and kind of went through those different scenarios. Their council felt that doing the combined would be that they are, because they are providing the cash match.
I guess, yeah, I just was concerned that I don't see anything forward that they're...
I didn't, for saving trees purposes, give council the entire grant. If you would like to have that...
It's not so much that. I just want to ensure that, you know, that we have something from Franklin saying that they are,
that they are going to be obligated. And when I get that, because they have not finished that resolution yet, I should have that by the end of this week. I will make sure that that is forwarded to you folks if you would like.
Okay, thank you.
And those resolutions would have to be done every year?
Yes. Like, we apply for the grant every year. You know, this
they would,
is...
Every year they pass their resolution saying that we're going to take control of it?
Yes.
Any other questions? Mr. Higgins, do you have something, or no?
No.
Okay. Does anybody have any objections to this?
No.
Madam Mayor.
Then I guess a motion to form the resolution that we need to...
So moved.
To get.
Second.
Okay. Any other discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
Appreciate it.
Okay, next we have the minutes of the regular meeting of August 17th.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on the minutes?
I have a couple of things.
Sure.
It's just for, you know, for when they are ultimately published, for clarification. From the comment from Pat Caspery on the second, I guess on the third page, towards the bottom, above ordinances, if you could just, like, revise it to say, Ms. Caspery at the Turning Cushing, if he reviews every contract, and if not, which contracts his office reviews, and if Turning Cushing stated that he doesn't, and that the borough manager would make that decision. And then on page 11, just so that, you know, it's clear, Councilman Gleeva met with the borough manager last week regarding the grant application, blah, blah, blah. If you could just say it's the Gannett Foundation grant, name of the grant. And then the last thing I had was on page 15, the vouchers. If you could include the roll call, because I abstained, there's no roll call. That's all I have.
I also noticed on page 3 there was no motion to close the audience portion mentioned in the minutes. Anyone else?
If you could just put on there that I abstained from anything to do with the fire.
Any other discussion on the minutes? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions?
That was my vote.
Okay. Then we have some correspondence from Ms. Braustein in regards to garage sale. For those in the audience, Ms. Braustein is representing the Jewish Center of Northwest New Jersey. They wish to hold a yard sale on a Sunday, which is not permitted by law, but due to their religion, they cannot do it on Fridays and Saturdays because those are their holy days. They're asking us to discuss it and perhaps reconsider that ban on Sundays. Anyone have any comments on this?
Yeah, I was looking through the mayor. I was looking through the ordinance, and it doesn't really define what we need to do to exempt this. So
Mr. Cushing, what do we need to do?
Normally, Richard, are they asking Christine for a particular date within the immediate future to do this?
October 3rd, I believe.
The process would be to amend the ordinance, okay, to provide for some kind of adjustment to take that into account, religious sensibilities. What I would recommend is there is a, you know, a need to treat all religions equally. So my inclination would be to give a dispensation, if I can use that word, tonight, and allow them to have it, and then work on it if you feel an amendment to the ordinance. I think that's a fair thing to do. A garage sale is not, you know, not the worst thing in the world either. So it seems to me that that's within the realm of your power if you're going to go and you think there's a sense that the ordinance could be adjusted in some way. I think that's a reasonable thing to do.
Sounds reasonable. I would support that logical reasoning.
I have a question about that. Seeing you're amending the ordinance, I've often wondered about that. I mean, does this kind of ordinance still serve any purpose?
It's the equivalent of a blue law type of ordinance. That's a policy decision, not a legal decision.
I mean, why not just eliminate the ordinance?
Well, we can certainly discuss that. But I think for the time being, we would need a motion to allow them to hold their yard sale on the 3rd with a rain date of the 24th.
Would we have to allow anybody that day that came?
Well, I think anybody that has religious concerns in that regard, I think, would be treated in the same way. I mean, you know, people have special religious considerations. You know, we have to treat, you can't either discriminate against or favor. You know, that's the First Amendment. So it seems to me that, especially if there's a general sentiment that the ordinance should be removed, should be amended in some way, it seems to be a sensible way to do it. I just think you avoid potential a whole panoply and a whole range of potential problems in that regard by accommodating the request.
So until we discuss the ordinance in whole, we would take this in a case-by-case?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, look, you're doing it here because somebody has a legitimate religious reason why they can't do it on the days that are normally assigned to do it. And that seems to me to be a good reason to depart from the general rule if the sentiment, again, is to amend. I mean, I suppose you could take the position, no, we're not going to do it. But I think that would lead to some complications that probably are best avoided.
I'll make a motion then that we allow the Jewish Center to hold their rummage sales on October 3rd with a rain date of October 24th.
Second.
Okay. Is there any further discussion on that?
Just one point of item for Dick. With the the motion that we just made, do we need to add to that, by case by case, just leave it as
you want.
To this specific request.
You're dealing with this application.
Okay.
Next
right.
one you deal with on the facts of that one.
Okay.
If somebody has a similar request.
All right, thank you.
Anything else? Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? I did neglect to have a receive and file for the correspondence, so I would accept that motion now.
Make a motion to receive and file the correspondence.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Before I open the audience portion up, I'd just like to state, ladies and gentlemen, that I know we have our audit here tonight, and I'm sure many of you have questions about that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give the folks in the audience a chance to ask questions during the audit portion of it. So, not during the audience portion, but definitely during the audit portion of it, I will give you the opportunity. So at this point, I would open up the audience portion for remarks, petitions, statements, and testimony from guests that is not on the agenda.
You must know who I am by now.
Yeah, but you have to state it for the record.
Edna Detlis, 27 Fisher Avenue.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I have two questions. And unfortunately, Richard's not here, so I can't ask him, but it was his email for the frequently asked questions. about garbage disposal. One of the questions is that I thought several council meetings ago that the vegetative waste was taken out of garbage, and if so, when is that effective, or did it get approved, or what? I don't know, it's, Janine had said it, I don't know whatever happened with it.
No, we did not remove vegetative.
So it's still there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's good. And it's going to stay there this year?
For the remainder of this year.
Right.
For next year, it's all pending upon what happens.
Vote, yeah. Well, speaking of next year, I don't understand, in the email, there was reference made to the garbage collection being 11.83 cents or something like that, but I don't understand why, and dealing with the tax levy, or the levy of the tax cap, whatever, if it's in there this year, in 2010, and the budget gets approved as is, then next year, if the garbage is still in there, rather than privatizing it, it wouldn't be any different. So why is it even being mentioned that you'd have to include that in the cost again? You're not increasing it.
I'm not sure I understand it.
I understand what she's saying. That's
okay.
Not necessarily true. That contract was written with it's kind of like a package deal.
Uh-huh.
This is what we want, this is what we want, this is what we want. And each one carries a different price. That carries a separate price. So the trash collection, your everyday trash, could be collected and the vegetative waste can be taken out.
Yeah,
just
no.
Like the bulk waste, it was the bulk waste,
yeah,
was removed. That was part of the trash collection,
right,
contract. So the vegetative waste can be taken out of it.
That's all what I mean.
Yes.
What I mean is that this year in 2010, I don't know when our budget's going to be approved. Did our budget get approved?
No.
Oh, God. Okay. Anyway, when it gets approved and the garbage is in it now, that's X amount of dollars in the budget. So next year, if the people vote and say in 2011 they do not want it taken out of the taxes and leave it there, and you might increase it somewhat because of maybe fees going up or something, but you won't be increasing it $400,000+.
No, we would continue on with the contract that is in effect with our garbage hauler.
Yeah, so it shouldn't have any really big effect on the cap.
Well, on the tax rate, it wouldn't have a real big effect.
Yeah,
but on the cap, it will, because the cap has been reduced to 2%.
Yeah, fine, except for the fact that the cap relates to an overage from one year to another, right?
An increase, yes.
Well, if you're not going to increase garbage, if garbage was the only thing in the taxes.
Okay. Last year we didn't have a problem with that because we were able to procure $550,000 from the state of New Jersey, so that didn't count against our cap. This year we're looking at $650,000.
$800,000
and something. No, that's been reduced at $650,000 roughly that we're looking for in transitional aid. If we get that, that does not count against the cap. Typically, the state of New Jersey does not like you going begging to them more than 2 years. Doesn't mean it can't happen, but the way we would look at it is that $650,000 we would have to include in next year also. If we can't, it's still part of our budget. If the state of New Jersey doesn't give it to us, we have to raise it from the taxpayers or reduce something, many things probably in that case, in order to get down under the cap. Did I
explain
that correctly, Natasha? Okay. Because we're hoping to get a grant this year from the state of New Jersey, and the grant we got last year from the state of New Jersey, that portion of the money does not count against our cap.
But the garbage has been part of our taxes ever since I've been here.
This is true, but if we take the garbage out of the taxes, then that doesn't count against the cap. Garbage collection itself will not count against our cap, and then that will offset the money that we would have gotten from the state. So let's just for round figures, let's say it's $650,000 we get from the state, garbage is $400,000, now we reduce that cap
impact by $250,000 by taking the garbage out.
I'm confused.
You know what? So are a lot of people.
Yeah.
It took me a while to get that test.
What I don't understand is that you're not raising it, for instance, the audit, the forensic audit. That's an additional thing that would come about if it gets passed or whatever. That would come about as an increase from one year to the other.
Correct.
But the garbage you're telling me would also be an increase?
Separate out the transitional aid or the potential aid we're getting from New Jersey to the garbage collection. They're two separate items. You know, taking the garbage collection out is taking $400,000 out of our $400,000 to $500,000 out of our budget, which means that we don't have to raise that money. But because we're probably not going to get any kind of transitional type of aid next year, that $660,000 that we would be getting, $650,000, will have to be made up someplace. So we're trying to offset costs.
We have a six-month buyout regardless.
True.
So if the referendum passes in November for January 2011, July 1st, I believe, and that's when the garbage collection that we know of now no longer exists, and we just say we go privatized. From my conversations, I believe, with Rich, is that you showed cause to the state. They don't count that against the cap. They saw that you were making some strides to reduce your budget in that effect there. That's the way I understood it. So no matter what happens, you still have a six-month. It's going to be in the budget for 6 months. Regardless. Now, once the budget's approved for the 2010 and if the garbage collection out of the tax rate goes away, we can't reduce that amount out of the approved budget. Is that correct?
Yes, I understand.
So that still stays in there.
Well, so if the budget has in it for 2010 $500 and some odd thousand dollars just for garbage, and then come 2011, it's still there.
It's still there for 6 months if we decide, if the voters decide.
No.
Not that?
No. If it's there in 2010 as part of the budget and it gets passed by the state, then it's going to be there if the people decide they don't want to take it out. It'll still be in the budget in 2011.
Correct.
But I don't understand why you would have to be stating that you have to increase the budget or have anything to do with the cap for 11 cents or 12 cents, 100, I don't get that.
The garbage collection rate is still in our budget.
Yeah.
As now. I don't remember anybody saying
it's 11.83%.
Increasing it.
Right.
I think her question goes to the spending cap that's being imposed on this by the state, if I understand it correctly. What you're saying is, wait, we've been paying this in the past, would be the same thing we're paying it next year.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we just be doing the same thing?
Right.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Yeah. I'm sitting in a dangerous seat up here tonight, so I got to be very careful what I say. This is Richard Cushing, not Richard Phelan, okay?
Oh, God. Okay.
Okay. But what the state has done, in order to stop and please, the experts are sitting over there, so if I get too far afield, and I'm kind of going off my knowledge here, but the state is saying municipalities have to spend less money. So they put a cap on what municipalities can spend, even if they've spent the same amount in the past. Well, insurance goes up and other things go up, and that cuts into that ability to raise the revenue up, you know, the percentage that the state says. So even though you've raised it in the past, your ability to spend money this year is being curtailed. So I think what the and again, if I misstate, characterize it, what the municipality is saying is, look, we've got potential increases in medical insurance next year. We've got potential increases in property insurance. We have all kinds of increases that are going to come for expenses over which we have no control. So the municipality is going to be in a very tight situation there in terms of meeting this 2% spending cap that exists. So if they took the garbage out, that would allow them to have a little bit more flexibility to meet the 2% spending cap that exists. I think that's what you're saying,
yeah.
Right? Did I get that right? Experts over there? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, I think. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. DeLoba?
Yes. Dovetailing on that, a quick question.
Name and address for the record, please.
Oh, I apologize. Bob DeLoba, 86 West Stewart Street, Washington, New Jersey. Thank you, Scott. Dovetailing on that, from what I recall being said by Rich, the other Rich, was that if a voter actually put through something such as the garbage, not to accept it, that the state wouldn't look at that negatively. They would say, oh, look, the voters have spoken, you can't control that, therefore that would be considered in terms of the cap.
There's two issues, two sides of that as it stands right now. First of that has not, unless something's happened in the last week or so, that has not been firmly voted upon by the state level. Now, the question that I understand is before it is 50% plus one vote enough to make it happen? Or are they going to require a 60% of the voters to come out and approve it by in order to make that happen? So that's part of the issue also with it.
In order to make what happen? I'm not following.
Yeah, well, you want to keep the garbage in tax and so that it doesn't come out,
right.
It doesn't affect the cap.
Right.
Now, let's say they make it so that you need 60% approval.
Right.
Okay, and we get
59. On the 2% cap, that's what you're saying.
No, on the vote for the garbage.
Oh, okay.
On the vote for the garbage. Let's say it comes in, it's approved, but it's approved with 59%, and they require 60%. Then it's going to count against our cap. Okay. Am I in the right ballpark here, Tom, Natasha, as we understand it so far?
Well, I thought it's non-binding.
No.
It's non-binding, so I don't think, I didn't...
That's true, but I mean, it's part of the issue that comes into there also. Is it 50% plus one vote, or is it 60% that's going to make it happen?
Okay,
so
let's...
Even if they got 60% because it's non-binding, council is the one that will decide whether it goes forward or not.
Well, then I misunderstood it, because I thought Rich said that basically...
He did.
That if it was something that was voted on by the population, they're not going to count against council, okay, in excess in terms of the cap rate, because it's something the voters voted on. And therefore, they wouldn't look at that negatively and wouldn't consider that. That's what he said.
See, this brings up...
Is that not right?
But this brings up something totally different here. We were never told about 60% or 50%
right.
plus one.
Right.
Or anything like that. When this
we always thought it was a simple majority.
50%
plus one, and we were good.
Is this something new?
And is this coming from the state?
Yes.
I never...
Well, For a non-binding referendum, this is coming from the state, that the state is telling us that we have to have 60%, or they haven't determined that yet.
They haven't determined that yet. This is a discussion that I understand is going on.
For our particular ballot question.
Well, for any, but ours would be, in particular, fall under the rules, should it go to 60%.
Well, how can that be done? How can they...
That's
I'm sorry,
committee.
I can't.
That's in committee now, Scott?
I'm unsure where it is right now, if it's in committee or if it's on the floor.
Well, the way I look at it is with the way we've presented it, it's already in front of the clerk.
Correct.
The county clerk. It's going to be put on the ballot. That and the forensic audit. So I believe for this election, they wouldn't have time to enact something.
Correct.
For this year.
That would make sense.
It would have to be for future years. So I believe it would be simple majority. But, there again, the state has all these different rules.
Right. They have the authority to change the rules as they
see fit. State mandates, but they don't pay a darn thing for it.
Right.
So.
Okay.
That is also...
I know it's not an answer, but it's a complication of what you're thinking.
I just wanted to get clear, though. I'm sorry.
I'm still a little confused. Even if, and I'm just throwing out numbers here, say even it was voted, the whole point for the non-binding was more to get public input, okay? And so just for example, it has nothing to do with how I feel or anything like that, but say the voters came back, and I'm not even talking percentages, say they came back 10% wanted to privatize it,
No, let's make it 80% wanted to privatize it, and 20% did not. Council then could still choose either the 20% or the 80. It didn't matter which, it doesn't, because of the non-binding, it doesn't...
That's true, but then if we keep it in the taxes at that point, then it would count against our cap, because we're going against what the voters said.
Absolutely.
So that's the point he's making, right.
Right, and then what Rich said, we have a, basically Rich said,
right,
in essence, we have a scapegoat, because if the people spoke, they're not going to count it against us as a cap. But if we went against what they said and raised it, it would.
Correct.
That's the way I understood it.
Yeah. Kind of what I was alluding to at top.
I agree with Rich is saying, because when you go in front of the local finance board, you're basically trying to sell your position. So if it's a negative position where you're going against the voters, they're going to not look kindly on that decision, and they're going to go the other way.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point Rich is trying to make, and it's a valid point.
Okay,
in front of the local finance board a lot, and I know, guaranteed, that wouldn't be a good thing. You went against the voters.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's a good point to keep in mind in terms of all working towards something that is a cohesiveness in terms of the borough. I mean, if the voters do vote to say, no, we want to keep it in, and we do have wiggle room there because basically the voters spoke. So, you know, we hear cap, but like you just said, you know, the state mandates, but the state doesn't pay. We're letting the cap dictate something that maybe will have a little bit of wiggle room to say, you know what, the voters spoke, we're going to go along with this, and if it exceeds a 2.5% cap, we've got that wiggle room because basically the voters spoke.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, just want to be clear on it. Thank you.
Sure. Yes, ma'am.
Lois Faulkner, 95 Leonard P. Trail, Washington Borough. In 2007, we came before the council about curbing and sidewalks on North Lincoln Avenue. I live on Leonard P. Trail, but I go to church at Mount Pisgah on North Lincoln Avenue. And we haven't heard anything. It's been 3 years. June, it was 3 years this year. We were wondering if there's anything coming up for sidewalks or curbing, or we were told also that we were asking in that year, the town was asking for a state grant. But no one has been in touch with us. We haven't heard one word. So I just was coming to ask if there was anything going on with roads and curbing or whatever.
I'm sorry, I don't have an answer for you right now. I know there is nothing in our plan in the immediate future to do anything to North Lincoln Avenue.
Well, Mr. Blanchard,
I guess we'll have, when Mr. Phelan comes back from vacation, we'll have to have him look into it and see what the status of it is.
Scott, if I could.
Sure.
3 years ago, we did tell them that we would look into putting curbing and sidewalks up there.
Okay.
The council did do that. 3 years ago is when we got into our financial...
difficulty?
Yeah, that's a good word, meltdown. So if I can explain to you what has happened is basically there has been no capital projects approved by this council. There has been no work done as far as... major undertaking like that. We did have Grand Avenue, I think, was scheduled to be done, but we had to scrap that because we didn't have the money. And that's where we're at right now. We didn't forget about you, and that's on the Streets Committee, and that was actually the number two street,
yep,
that up in that area where she's talking about, that as a council we discussed. But right now we don't have the money and we're not really doing anything to any road, as you can tell by driving through town.
Yeah, well, we just felt that someone, in 3 years, someone should have said something to us. We just felt that we were completely forgotten since no one said anything.
We apologize.
I mean, I know we
that.
Have financial problems,
yes,
but
yeah.
I think
apologize
someone
for that,
should have
but
come.
We haven't forgotten.
Okay. All right. Thank
Dave,
you.
Do you remember if we did the engineering on that? I thought that was part of our original.
That was part of the top 10 roads. Remember, the engineer was
right.
Supposed to go around and get the top 10.
The engineering wasn't done on that, though.
No, there was no engineering done on that. We were going with Grand Avenue, then I guess it was Beethoven, and then going to North Lincoln.
Okay. And we did turn, it was, we had a state grant for Grand Avenue, and we turned that back in.
That was for Belvedere Avenue, to finish Belvedere Avenue out here.
Right, and we had to hand that back in.
And we turned that back in because we couldn't match it.
All right, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Is it okay if I just state this all?
Sure.
Thank you. Okay. How are you? My name is Troy Wyant. I'm from 381 James Street in Phillipsburg, New Jersey. I'm not sure if this is going to be a waste of time. I don't need to waste anybody's time, especially with Rich not being here. But I was the director of the Men's Washington Basketball League this past year. And as far as in the beginning, Mr. Masoner, Gary Masoner, came up and they had nobody to run the basketball league. Now, I've ran this basketball league for 3 years, 3 years ago, for 3 years, and then the last 2 years I have not ran it. But Gary Masoner approached Robert Eckel, who's ran it for 30 years, and said that they have not had a director. If they didn't have a director, they weren't going to have a league. So they approached me because I've ran it before, and Gary had said the salary, which has been the same salary for X amount of years, and I was confused because I had thought that it was the same salary as it has been prior years, and then I get a paycheck, and then Mr. Phelan's telling me that it's hourly. Now, if I had rejected Mr. Masoner to begin with the original salary, then why would I sign on to something that's hourly? Like, it doesn't make any sense as to why now the position is hourly. Mr. Masoner said the changes were made prior. I checked out all the meetings I could online. I could not find anything stating that the salary has changed to hourly. Then he said that the changes were made in 2009, so I spoke to the prior league director, and he said that the checks were split. And anybody with salary knows that it's a double-edged sword. You can work 10 hours and get paid salary, or you can work 100 hours and get the same salary. So it didn't matter how many hours you put in, just as long as the hours were logged in there. So I handed in my timesheets, and then all of a sudden I get a check for an hourly wage. Now, this job, even though that it is only a summer league, I take this job very seriously. 3 years ago, when the town was having movie night, I don't know if you guys still have this or not, I'm not from around here, so kids would come down to the park. Now, obviously, grown men, they get frustrated, they swear, obviously. So I implemented rules with a no-swearing policy. If you swear, it's a technical foul in basketball terms, and if you swear again, you're ejected, two-game suspension. Parents had come up, they liked the rule and everything, but I don't know, I'm confused. I don't know if I can seek counsel's help with this, because Mr. Phelan had stated to me that if there is no money, I don't know what to tell you. The town this year had been a down year because a lot of sponsors dropped out because they thought that the entrance fee was too high. This town does have a good league. I don't know if this town knows exactly what they have with this league, but I know there's a lot of people that enjoy playing in it. I know there's a lot of people that enjoy coming to watch it. So I'd like to keep this league going. But the problem I'm having is that I would not have joined or signed the application if I knew that it was hourly. And I'm asking council's help as to what I can do or if there's anything I can do.
Well, let me just suggest, the problem, because Rich is not here, this form of government puts all the personnel issues in the hands of the this form of government provides that the management of the borough is in the hands of the manager, especially in terms of personnel issues. Uh-huh. So what you should do, and it's unfortunate that you had to come tonight, but call Rich, make an appointment with him, see him, and he makes the decisions in that regard.
I'll tell you what the next steps would be if you don't agree with this decision.
Okay.
There are certain policies that we have to follow, laws in that regard, and he can tell you what they are also.
Right, because I've been in contact with Mr. Phelan back and forth. We've been playing phone tag for a while. During regular hours, I am not available because I work in a government building, and working in a government building, you can't have cell phones. But the thing is if it was changed to hourly, why wasn't I notified up front about this, and I have asked Mr. Phelan this, and he said that that it was changed in the past borough meetings. But like I said, I've been trying to look everything up online, and I was looking from June 1st to August 15th, and he said, no, it was changed in 2009, but I don't see anything there. And I'm curious as to why it was changed, because for 30 years it's been like that. And like I said, the league director who ran it prior, he said that that they just split it up into four checks, and when I ran it before, that's how they split it up as well. So it didn't matter how many hours was in there.
You know what you could do? You could email the manager.
Actually, that's the thing. I've been in contact, and he said that he would look into it. But the thing is, he said that if there's no money, I don't know what to tell you. But why would I run the league for only $600? Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
Actually, the salary ordinance would say, wouldn't it?
It should, yes.
Whether it was salary or whether it was hourly, and if it was done in 2009,
mm-hmm.
right, we would be able to find out what that is through the salary ordinance.
Okay.
Actually, you would be able to find that out, because the attorney is right. We can't get involved, but that's where you would go to look, the salary ordinance
okay.
for 2009.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if you email Mr. Phelan, I think that's a good way. If you got a communication issue during the day, that's the way to get a hold of him. He's out this week, but should be back right next Monday, right?
But in the meantime, look for that ordinance.
Okay.
Or maybe the clerk could help you out. I don't know.
Oh, sure. Because the clerk had stated that it was hourly, but when I was originally approached, they said it's an 1850 set salary set by council. So they had mentioned nothing of hourly. Because if it was hourly, I would have never signed on to this, and that's where the issue is coming into play. So
I can apologize for the miscommunication, but I know that doesn't help you a whole lot. But I can speak to the manager about it also when he gets back and make sure that he looks into it for you, but that's about the extent of what I can help you with.
Okay, I figured I would try.
Sure.
So thank you very much.
Bob DeLelba, 86 West Stewart Street. I'll make it brief. It may be helpful to you know it's not an isolated incident. We've had our ups and downs with the difficulty in the park this year. We've all heard it, and I know we wrestled through it, and it's been hard. But that's not an isolated incident. The Citizens Action Group has received a couple of complaints, which we've turned them on to, just saying, here's the process, here's how you file through. But we have some problems and issues with employees through the sports program, and there's some difficulties going on.
From misinformation, such as we just heard?
Totally, and actually denying of salaries. So something you may want to look into a little bit, but we'll have to document anything, you know, and get it to you. But just so you're aware, as a council, you're going to see that come up. It's not isolated, so we can't just say it's isolated, but just for your own advice.
Okay. Thanks, sir. Is there anyone else who would like to speak? Mrs. Sloan.
Guess what? It's a different topic. For years, the Church of Christ at Stewart and Grand Avenue has had a sign. And a few months ago, somebody hit the sign that was there for a long time, and the church has recently erected a new sign, electric brick, blah blah. The only thing is, I can see that sign from Carlton Avenue, and this is a residential area. I don't know what the regulations are, but I think it's entirely inappropriate to have a church sign that you can see five, maybe half a mile away.
You want a church sign, not a lighthouse beacon.
Right. Well, it might even be distracting to... It's a residential area. Now, I went around to check the other churches, and the Presbyterian Church has a small sign. It's not... I don't think it's inappropriate, and it's in a residential area or semi-residential area. And the Methodist Church has a larger sign, but it's in a business area. So I don't know if there was a code officer not involved. I have no idea, but I think this is entirely inappropriate to have
a church sign that you can see half a mile away in a residential area. Honestly, you can, I can't read it at a half a mile, but you, boom, there's this big,
right.
It looks like a whorehouse in Singapore.
The question is, with the sign being damaged like that, should they have gone before planning board or anything for replacement of the sign?
Christine might be able to shed some light, no pun intended, on this.
I mean, I can answer that.
Okay.
I was chair of planning board when we did the sign ordinance, and even downtown, there was a restriction on illuminated signs. PNC Bank, perfect example. We made them take the light bulbs out. So Mrs. Sloan is right on key that, especially in a residential area, that we have an ordinance.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was thinking, you can actually see the sign from the corner of Washington and Grant, and it's on till like 9, 10 o'clock at night.
I don't know when it goes off, but
yeah,
I can see
I
it.
I was wondering what people were thinking in the neighborhood, because nobody said anything to me, but literally you can stand on the corner of Washington and Grand and see the sign lit up.
Well, you can see it on Carlton and Grand, too.
Yeah.
That's a long way away.
We could send them a letter from your office, you know,
well,
reminding them.
Maybe the thing to do is to ask the zoning officer to investigate and find out exactly what the facts are and what occurred and were there steps taken and was any approval granted for that. You know, I sent you folks a little memo on our LUPA, the Religious Land Use and Institutionalized Persons Act, very delicate area. So I think we should have the zoning officer investigate it, look at it, find out what the facts are, and then maybe report back to council. But actually, it's the zoning officer initial determination administratively as to whether the sign complies or not. And if it doesn't comply, then she would have enforcement.
But wouldn't they even need one of those, wouldn't, before they erected it, shouldn't they have had some kind of
permit. Right.
If somebody issued a permit.
Was it different from what was there before?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's
changed
yeah.
in size.
It's
and
not on the same footprint then.
No.
No, it's not the same footprint.
And it's in a residential zone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think the zoning officer ought to take a look at that.
Oh, it's bigger than it was, and
she may be able
differently, and it's brighter than the moon.
Yeah. She may be able to consult with the church, and perhaps they were had a misunderstanding or whatever.
But if we didn't have, if they didn't, if my next problem is if we don't have an ordinance controlling signs like that in residential areas, we should have one.
I suspect you do.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak? Seeing none, I would accept the motion to close the audience portion.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Now it's time for our annual audit. Ms. Turch and Mr. Ferry, who would like to go?
I'm going to go
for it. Okay. Mr. Ferry.
Thank you, Mayor. Okay, everybody received their annual audit, copies of the audit. I met with the finance chair and what was the other person being? Finance committee. I met with them. I went over the audit report in great detail as best I could. I'm not going to go in that much detail tonight. What I am going to talk about, basically, because it's on everybody's mind, is the bottom line. And when we talk about bottom line, we mean our fund balance. 2009, when I was first appointed, we had no manager, and I inherited his budget. So we tried to put together a budget the best we can. And one of the things I noticed was that we used a lot of fund balance. 2009, we were not able to use any fund balance because of the financial condition. We basically, 2008, used $525,000 in fund balance to balance the budget, and we didn't generate it back. 2008, we ended the year with $39,000 in fund balance, which is way low.
So when you start off a year with 2009 with zero fund balance, you need to balance a budget, and in previous years you have the 525, hence we went out for extraordinary aid, which we received. 2009 turned out to be a bad year, even worse than 2008. However, we were able to generate $153,000 in excess revenues over appropriations. You add that back to the $39,000 that we started the year with, we ended the year with $193,240. That's progress. Transitional aid, we'll see where that goes. Hopefully we'll get it. We'll get something to help our financial condition, give us a push in the back to get us fully rolling so we can make financial recommendations and look at the budgets going into the future. One of the other things that I noted in 2009 was that we hired a CFO, Natasha, and when I first got here, there was no fully functional general ledger. You didn't know where you were going. You didn't know where your cash was. You didn't know what your financial condition was. Natasha came in. She restructured the accounting department. We purchased Edmunds accounting package. It's a good general ledger package. So between her restructuring the accounting department, we now have a fully functional general ledger system for all funds. I don't think historically the Borough of Washington has ever had a fully functional general ledger accounting system. What that means is that you can make decisions financially day to day because things get updated day to day. So if you wanted to know if Rich Phelan needs to make a decision, wants to know where a financial number is, she can talk to Natasha. She could bring it up on the computer and tell him pretty much instantaneously where you are at a certain point. So of course that's a major, major, major improvement, and it's continuing in 2010. Now with a system now, with a fully functional general ledger system, now we can make decisions about, okay, what happened in the past is the past. Now we can make financial decisions how to clean up some of the financial condition that we're in, such as our debt service. Okay, that's a major, major issue here. Right now we're still looking, being that we have a system, now we can go and worry about, instead of the big fires, now we can start looking at some of those little fires and seeing where we could fix things. One of the issues, and it's a comment in the audit report, are some of the receivables that we had set up from the state of New Jersey or USDA to fund some of these bond ordinances that we're not just going to get the money. What happened? I don't know. I wasn't here. Natasha wasn't here. It was previous, previous administrations prior. But all we know is we're at this point now, and now we need to make the decisions how we're going to clean things up. So that's at the point where we're at right now. So fund balance, we're still good. With transitional aid, I'm hoping that we generate some fund balance. I mean, we're still, the financial condition still in the state of New Jersey is pretty, pretty bad, even in the country. We're still getting interest rates of 0.5%. We can borrow less, but we can't do any projects because of our debt. So that doesn't really help us. So what I'm going to do then is go into the comments and recommendations section of the audit report. And I'll give you a page number on that. And what we're going to do is...
132.
Thank you. Actually starts starts on 130. The recommendations are on 132. What I'm going to do is go comment by comment and then give my recommendation. Natasha, by state law, you have to do a corrective action plan, okay? What that means is that I give you the comment. I say, I found something wrong. Now, it's the CFO's job to do a corrective action plan, which needs to be done, and you have to vote on it as a board, as a council, and make sure that those are followed through so it's not a reoccurring comment. It's a bad thing when it's a reoccurring comment. There are instances where there are reoccurring comments that may not be structurally a problem with the borough. They do happen. All right, with that.
Would you like us to ask our questions as you go along, or wait until you fill the exemption?
No, I mean, as I go through the comment, we can interject. One of the comments, the first one is that, the bottom line is that we have interfunds between one fund and another fund. It's a normal process. It occurs every municipality. Thank you. Every municipality, maybe that one will go on now, Dave. They do occur, but what we try and do is have them paid back by the end of the year. So the first comment I have is that we have interfund balances that weren't zeroed out and that it needs to be done. So the recommendation is clean up the interfunds.
This is my first question, if I may answer.
Sure.
On page 132, on the recommendations and even the status of prior year audits, number one, as well as the corrective action plan that we're going to be talking about later with Natasha, on page 132, you're saying that interfund balances be reviewed and liquidated on a periodic basis.
Yes.
However, on page 30, you say, as a general rule, all interfund balances should be closed out as of the end of the year. It is the borough's policy to review and liquidate all interfund balances on a periodic basis.
Yes.
So I'm confused. We already have the policy that's periodic basis, and that's your recommendation, or is your recommendation to close them out at year end?
Close them out at year end.
So page 132 should be changed then, as well as then.
It should be done periodically, too. I mean, technically, you shouldn't have, if you do have interfunds, you don't want to have them technically at the end of the month either. So it's better to have them not at all. This way, you know, so it should be done periodically and definitely by the year end.
Statutorily, is there a time that it's supposed to be done?
No, there's no statute.
It just says that they have to be paid back with interest?
No.
But the statute says it has to be paid.
There is no statute. There is no state statute that says that. It just says that interfund, as a good accounting practice, they should be liquidated and corrected periodically and by year end.
I have a question. Same topic. On the interfunds, you had a comment here. Balances should be closed out as the end of the year. And on the corrective actions, is interfunds eliminated at month end the same topic? Is closed out and eliminated the same course of action?
Yes.
So we're talking at the end of the year, and then we're talking month end.
I mean periodically. I mean,
okay, so periodically is monthly or yearly?
Could be monthly, could be 6 months.
Which one are we doing? Which one do we need to do?
It would be great if you had none at all.
Well, I'm not. Which one should we need to be doing?
You need to be doing yearly.
Yearly.
At a minimum.
Because your recommendation says periodic basis, so that's why I'm along the same lines as Councilman Boyle. That's why I'm a little confused.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, speaking to you last week, I thought the recommendation was, yearly, but now it says
periodically.
Right.
Right. Yearly is the minimum. Periodically would mean then, let's say, on a monthly basis to look at them. So that would be a higher standard.
Okay, so.
So I would say periodically if you could, yearly definitely. What happens with interfunds, especially on the current fund side, if you have any receivables, without getting too crazy, it damages your fund balance if you have any interfund receivables. Those definitely need to be closed out because they hurt your fund balance.
Okay, so the corrective action for comment one should be reviewed on a monthly basis and closed out yearly.
Is that what your corrective action says, Natasha?
I said review on a monthly basis and all possible interfund eliminations, because there are interfunds that you cannot eliminate.
Okay, but that's not what, it didn't say that we couldn't eliminate them. I'm just trying to look for consistencies in verbiage.
Sure.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Tom, basically what you're saying is at the end of the month, there may not be money to pay it back.
That's correct.
So you definitely want to pay it back by the end of the year.
If you can.
Right. That's all they're saying.
Right, and it doesn't say that. It does not say that by year, and I think that's what the goal should be year end.
Definitely. Okay. And to be honest with you, that's the reason why I go over these comments and recommendations, or I do have an exit conference. I don't think you've ever had an exit conference with your auditor. Whenever that's the way I work, I try and make, before it gets to this point, if there was a problem with the language, I would like to know before I carve it in kind of stone. That's the reason why we have those exit conferences.
You're talking about our committee meeting we had?
Yeah.
We had an hour.
Yeah, no. Well, I would have stayed there for five if you
needed
to.
Well, we'll just move on with this.
Okay. Under the treasurer, there are various grant receivables and reserve balances in the grant fund that have remained inactive. The federal and state grant fund is a specific fund. You get $5,000 as a grant, and you get to spend it. If you spend $5,000, but you don't, it doesn't get submitted to the state or partial to the state, and you have a receivable, you technically over-expended that reserve. And if you're not going to get the money, you have problems. You have to raise it in the current fund. I inherited, the prior year's audit. All I'm saying is we need to review the grant receivables and the grant reserves, and if they're inactive or they're dead, we need to possibly liquidate those together and get rid of them the best we can.
So what you're saying is that, there were various grant receivables and reserve balances. So we were due money?
As soon as when you do the budget, we set up clean communities. We didn't get that money up front.
Right.
So we need to, when we expend that money, we need to make sure that we're going to be collecting it. And if it's a grant where you spend the money and you submit the bills to get reimbursed, well, you got to stay on top of those. So
various.
Basically, there's old grants.
How many
grants.
Is various?
Various, because there's a lot of them.
How many is various, though? You're saying that we were
20.
Doing money that we didn't get.
There's some that we have excess reserves, and some that we have receivables that there's no reserve. So I think at the end they might wash out. That's what we need to review. See, I can't give you answers about every one of these specific grants because that's one of the things you have to look at case by case. And that's what, when you have a general ledger system, that's the kind of thing you can review one grant at a time. It's not an easy process. And these things have been going on for years.
I don't know if I should go one through one. More of my questions and concerns are with the corrective action plan, so I don't know if Natasha, you can help, or
Natasha's the one
with
the corrective action.
With Rich not here, I mean, specifically, that's a big concern of mine, that comment and that recommendation. So my concern and question isn't really towards you. It's just that in the explanation and corrective action that we received and want to vote on tonight, is that it says that all balances were investigated and identified. Reports were filed with the state to request reimbursement for all eligible receivables. Resolution was adopted to cancel uncollectible receivable and improvement authorizations. Funds will be raised in the future budgets to cover uncollectible receivables.
That's the wrong one.
That's number three.
Oh, okay, all right.
We're on six.
Okay, well, the grant receipt, you still need to do the grant the grant receivables. It's just a different...
They need to be investigated.
It's just a different...
One is from the general capital fund.
Right, yes.
That funded ordinances. This one is a dollar for dollar. It just, you've got Clean Communities money, $5,000. You got to spend $5,000, but you've got to make sure that you submit the money, you submit project completion reports, or you make sure that before you spend the $5,000, you get the money in and comply with their grant award notices. And again, these are things that just been going on and on because you didn't have a good accounting system, you didn't have a good CFO.
I'll save my comments till you get the comments for you then. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Because it ties in as far as I'm concerned. Okay.
Whose responsibility is to send the reports or even to compile the reports?
Sometimes it's the it's a committee. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it could be just the CFO. It's hard to say. Whoever, sometimes the police department, I know we don't have one anymore, sometimes we have police department mm-hmm. that do body armor. They purchase body armor, they submit it to the state, and then we charge it off, and then we watch the money come in.
Okay, so in the corrective plan that we talked about, who's going to be responsible for these?
It depends on the grant.
Oh, okay.
Every grant is different.
And again?
And a lot of them have been already done, because when the police moved out to Washington Township, we cleaned up all the police grants. And then, we cleaned up Municipal Alliance, and then we went from the police to the village and cleaned up grants. So we're doing one grant at a time, because it requires a lot of research going back, when did it start, when did the problem occur, what money did we get for what year, what funds do we have to spend from what year. You can't just look and say, okay, cancel it all.
Right. So basically, the department that gets the grant should be responsible for filing reports?
If they require
it. Should not be ours.
Some grants, you just receive automatically.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like being that this government is cutting their employees, it seems like the old days where we used to have to submit monthly reports are going away because there's nobody to oversee it. They just say, here's $5,000. When I have to audit, make sure that, if it's for body armor, it's for body armor. And it's not for, bullets or something,
Okay.
But there's got to be somebody who oversees it also. So that's something we're cleaning up now. We're looking into the future. And that's something maybe Natasha can make recommendations, or Rich, to clean up so this doesn't happen anymore. And that's what the corrective action plan is, to bring this out and make sure that it doesn't occur anymore and to come up with a plan.
So the other question I have is backtracking to that. How can a municipality or any kind of business get away without running or having a ledger?
There's a lot of them. Oh, there's a lot of municipalities out there because there's not a lot of qualified good CFOs. There's some that can't even turn computers on. I have. No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can we just keep it up here and leave the audience portion? You'll get your chance in a few moments.
Okay. Funds, comment number two under treasurer. Funds were committed in excess of amounts appropriated by the sewer utility fund appropriation reserves. We have appropriation, we have the 2008 budget gets carried forward to 2009. There was an over expenditure in a particular line item in the sewer utility fund. And it was the appropriation reserve, not the current year budget. And what we do is we just set up a deferred charge, and that money had to be raised in your 2009 budget to fund that line item. 2010's budget. And again,
we have two recommendations and one comment. That's why Janine is looking for pages.
Okay.
Because this number three here is actually number four on recommendations. Number two and three recommendations. So what I did is I actually split your comments on two recommendations.
Okay.
Separately for each of them.
I'm just looking at this. Okay, I see what you're saying. So number four is the recommendation for that. Okay. Number three, there were grant receivables in the general capital fund and the SOAR capital fund that need to be investigated for possible cancellations. When you do a bond ordinance, sometimes you have a funding from the state of New Jersey. Most of the time, the most frequent one is DOT monies for streets. Again, if we do the ordinance, we do the road project, and we don't submit the vouchers to the state of New Jersey, we don't get the money in. Now the project's been done, it's been closed out, and years later, we're still sitting with this receivable. So we have instances of this in the general capital fund and the sewer utility fund, sewer utility capital fund. So we need to investigate those, which I've already, I'm pretty sure Natasha and myself have been talking about already, and we're going to possibly cancel them. She's already looked into it, and we have to start raising some of this in the current fund budget and the sewer utility budget.
This is my question. I guess, again, it says, I just don't understand why these were never collected. You know, and I know it's not your, even Rich, I mean, this happened going back, these things have been carrying over. So I guess I'm just concerned, as council moving forward, that we clearly, like Councilman Valentine said, know exactly who is tracking this and ensuring that every year we are going out, you know, submitting these vouchers or whatever to whoever, authorized the grant. So the question is not necessarily to you. I guess where we say in the corrective action plan that funds will be raised in the future budget to cover uncollectible receivables, I mean, I would like a report of what all these uncollectible receivables are, and then, like, how much money do we need to raise? What are we talking here?
We're talking a little bit over $100,000
in
general capital
and $300,000 plus in sewer capital.
And that
$300,000
is why we increased the
sewer fees? No. 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 So the comment that you just made just now, saying that that's going to have to be made up in the general account and the sewer utility, means the sewer utility is going to see another increase?
We don't have to do it in one shot. We can raise it over years' budgets.
So that's why my next thing, too, is, again, I know we need to, like, vote on this corrective action plan. Like, it says the implementation date says implemented. As far as I'm concerned, this is something ongoing. I mean, it's not been done. It's not...
Well, what I meant by that is the fact that we have reviewed the receivables, we know exactly which balances we have filed papers with the state, we received two grants reimbursements, do you remember that, $300,000? Right. And then another one, so that has been done. Yeah. You know, exactly the balances that are outstanding. Do you remember you did the resolution canceling $500,000 for the fire truck receivables that will not be expended or collected, so you've done that part, and then you're ready to raise the funds in the budget. So as far as, I guess I'm concerned about all those stuff that is grants not evaluated, examined, not canceled or anything else, all those steps are implemented and done.
But
the fact that it will take you 5 to 10 years to raise it in the budget, how is that going to repeat the comments for 10 years if we're working forward, you know, getting it done?
But just if I could, please.
Sure.
The resolution was adopted to cancel uncollectible and receivable and improvement authorizations. Was that for the fire truck?
Yes.
Then why did you say authorizations? This makes it sound like that we've done it all.
Well, it's called improvement authorizations, the line item called improvement authorizations.
So we're corrected going forward,
uncollectible
but not necessarily corrected from the past.
You cancel both sides. You cancel the side of receiving money and the side of expending money of equal amounts, so it has no impact on anything.
But that was a good story. That one we
that was a great story.
That one we actually got the money and we canceled it out.
Right.
Yeah. It was just the way the wording And it wasn't, it was prior to me, it was the way the wording of the bond council, the way it was worded, how the grant monies were coming in, those auditors set it up, assuming that was going to happen, but it's been taken care of, it's water under the bridge, and it didn't impact financially us whatsoever. We have a fire truck, and that's all we care about at this point.
So, based on the numbers that you just said, Natasha, we're looking at raising $500,000 over the next 5 years.
I didn't say 5 years.
You said $100,000 in the general, you said 4 years?
I didn't say 5 years, I said over the next year.
Over the next year?
It's a budget decision to see how many years.
It's a budget decision.
It's a decision that we all have to make. You know, if we can raise $20,000 a year, we'll raise $20,000.
And there's no hope of getting the grants that, the receivables for those things?
No, the grants is we receive the match.
And we don't know who was responsible for doing that in the past, but we.
I can tell you that Rich got the grants when he called the state and, you know, found out that he still due money and filed all the paperwork and got the grant. Who was responsible for it before him, I have no idea.
How do we find that out? When was all the, yeah?
You have to look at when the ordinance was adopted, and then who was in charge.
I think one of them, 0721, the 2007 year, whoever was in charge, and I don't remember what the other numbers are, like, what the top number.
So a lot of this is like really old business.
It's all old.
But we're paying for it now, and we're going to be paying for it in the future.
Right.
So basically, this adds to our debt.
Yeah. Well, we're hoping that we can try to structure it where the debt, if the debt drops off, we'll fill it in so the debt stays level, and we'll be raising that amount.
That's all I had on that one. Thank you.
We also, by the, on the other flip side, there's no comment or recommendation at this. We are looking at improvement authorizations that are old that we could possibly cancel out also to help fund these kind of problems. What you do is you can cancel funded ordinances that are dead, that are just the money sitting there. We can cancel them to fund balance and appropriate that money into current fund budget.
Well,
so if we can cancel 50, put it in the budget for 50, we can raise 50 for these specific
But these are mainly grants, so if you didn't use the money, wouldn't you have to give it back?
We used the money.
It would be great if you didn't spend it, because then you would have a receivable against the reserve and they would wash.
Right, but say it again what you were saying with that.
If we're going to look at other improvement authorizations that have been done in the past, what we're going to do is look at those, see if they're dead projects.
Right.
If there's any money left over, we can cancel them by a resolution. Natasha will be giving that to the mayor and council if there are any. We cancel them to our general capital or our SOAR capital surplus fund balance, and then you can anticipate that money in the next year's budget as a revenue and increase your payment of that debt, basically.
So we can increase the payment on the debt that would relieve a little bit of it on the taxpayer because of money that we already have.
Yeah.
We'll have to analyze every order to see if it's still functioning.
Yeah.
Okay, but my question is, and I don't know, maybe I didn't hear it. The total amount for the unfunded was $500,000.
Yes.
$400,000.
100 in general capital, 300 in SOAR utility capital.
And that's it. Everything else we've got.
As far as cash, yes.
For the grant, this grant.
But everything else that we were entitled to, we got. Is that
they don't know that.
And the general capital.
That should wipe out all the receivables at this point.
So there's no other money.
There's no other projects. We stopped, like you said, we stopped all projects in 2009.
But we're going backwards, 07, 06. So we looked at all those. Is that what we meant by implementing?
Yeah.
And we're done with all those.
The receivables, yes.
Okay.
By doing what Natasha said, yes.
Okay, so that's where the money then goes back to the account, like the $388,000 went back into that account.
Correct.
Then from that account, it was transferred over to the inner funds because that's where the money came from.
Correct.
Yes.
So that $388,000 then can be applied to.
No, it's done. It paid off the inner fund.
Right.
So the money came in, it reduced the receivable, now you've got that extra cash, but that fund owed
another fund, so that money, just that extra, that money just went to go pay back the other fund.
I understand that, but if that's through an ordinance, that money, that ordinance can be reduced by $388,000.
No, because the money was spent already. You set up the receivable based upon the expenditure. So if you spend $300,000, you set up the receivable for $300,000.
But did we get $388,000 from an interfund to pay for that particular project? As far as I know, we were $129,000 over.
Chances are, if you didn't collect the receivable, you had to borrow the money from another fund.
I understand.
And set up the receivable. Once you got that money back in, you reduced the receivable from the state and liquidated the interfund.
I understand that, but the money that we borrowed initially.
We didn't borrow anything.
We didn't borrow that $388,000? We didn't borrow anything for the streetscape? Because that's where the $388,000 came.
No, part of it is funded by, part of it we borrowed.
Right, $400,000.
So if the project was $1 million, $700,000 was by taxpayers, $300,000 was a state aid. And I'm just giving you round numbers. I mean, it could be...
You have two ordinances for streetscape, and I don't remember the first one, let's say 0125, and then you supplemented that ordinance with a second ordinance, and I think it's 0721, for $428,000.
Correct.
This $428,000 was supposed to be dollar-for-dollar grant for $428,000 from DOT. What happened is somewhere in process of planning streetscape...
We reduced the scope of work.
Correct, the scope changed. So the state said, well, we'll only give you 3/8. What happened is, while the scope of work was reduced, the amount that you authorized to be expended, nobody went back and said, well, we can no longer spend 428, we'll only have to spend 380. Mm-hmm. So the amount that you were eligible to expend stayed at 428. Mm-hmm. So when Reach filed the grant, the state said, you will only get 380, while you guys expended 428.
I understand
that. Since there was two ordinances, the first ordinance was borrowed for a particular purpose, you know, in the bank, or an outside vendor actually loaned you the money to pay the bill for the streetscape. The second part, which was 0721, because you were expecting the grant from the state, you never went and borrowed from the bank. You loaned, the current fund loaned General Capital the money to pay the bills in anticipation of getting cash from the state to pay back the current fund.
The General Capital Fund.
Correct.
Loan.
So
okay.
We got the grant back from the state. It went back to General Capital, decreased the receivable that you had outstanding. Basically, IOUs became less.
Right.
And then once the General Capital got the cash that it had, it paid back
the
current fund what money they advanced them to pay for streetscape.
Okay, so in our current general capital fund, based on that right there, we have $388,000 in there.
We don't, because we paid back the inner funds to current fund. You had it for about 15 seconds, you had it there. But I had to pay back the old debt. So as soon as I put it in, I paid back the old debt.
It's like when you buy a house, you get that check from the mortgage company, the mortgage company, you have all that money, you have to go, boom, pay it right back.
God.
Okay. Contracts payable in the general capital fund listed on the general ledger does not agree with subsidiary ledgers. There were contracts payable that we inherited, Natasha inherited. When we set up the general ledger, if you have a contract payable, we have to have the vendor name, we have to have how much it's for. It didn't agree with our subsidiary ledgers didn't agree with the general ledger. Natasha, you're just going to review them and cancel out the contracts payable because we know ones that are good now. So it's just a house cleaning chore that has to be done. Consumer accounts receivable and sewer overpayments in the sewer utility fund listed on the general ledger does not agree with subsidiary ledgers. Same thing. When you have a general ledger, you have an account. If it says tax overpayment or tax overpayments or sewer overpayments, we should have a listing of those names. We just inherited older ones. We're just going to review the ones we have, cancel out the other ones so that the subsidiary ledgers now agree with your general ledger. That's the great thing about general ledger. Now you have a day-to-day number, and that's so things
like we're just talking about. These kind of things don't happen.
Are we just changing those subsidiary ledgers to agree with the general ledger? Or
no, it's not a plug. We know what the number is we have to get to. So we have to adjust the general ledger to agree with the subsidiary ledgers or vice versa.
And that also has to do with the sewer accounts being brought into house, too.
It helps. Their reports weren't the best in the world. But now we have a system where we can print out more reports and tie in things more and better. Tie in things more precise, I should say. There is a deferred charge in future taxation unfunded over 5 years old. That's unfunded. That's in general capital or sewer capital. If you have an ordinance and you haven't taken out a bond anticipation note for it, and it's unfunded, it's in the negative. So when you do a bunch of ordinances, you can use that money to fund another ordinance. But when I analyze each ordinance separately, there was one that was unfunded. So what we have to start doing is either cancel it, or we have to raise it in the budget.
So why can't we cancel it? Pardon me?
Because it was canceled. Because it was expended. So in other words, if the money was left over, we could cancel it and reduce it, but the money was spent already, so it's just got to be raised again through the budget.
And how much?
How much?
$630,000.
Add the keep back? $400,000.
What?
You can do a bond anticipation note in part, but we can't do one. Yep, it's too old. That's right. That's right. It was over 10 years old, actually. Yeah. Okay. Outside offices. As part of the audit, what I do is I look at the outside offices, make sure they compare their numbers compare with the general ledger of the treasurers. So we need to keep outside office books the same. Everybody needs to keep them so I can compare their books to the treasurer's records, because the treasurer could mispost it. So that, you know, take clerk's money, put it in municipal court or building inspection or whatever. So I got to make sure that the outside office is the source document, make sure that there was no misposting on the treasurer's side. So under outside offices, the clerk's department, the police department, and recreation department do not maintain a formal cash receipts journal. Now, we don't have to worry about the police anymore. The clerk is already taking care of that in 2010, and right now we're working on the recreation department. We're getting them an Excel spreadsheet in a format that we can utilize that basically takes care of that problem.
Would
number
that be considered
two,
a subsidiary ledger, that Excel?
No, it's considered a formal cash receipts journal. It'll take its place. Then a book. As long as, you know, there's certain things we need, you know, make sure that it's deposit. Every time you make a deposit, it's subtotaled. It agrees with the deposit slip. I know who you received it from, the basketball program, the baseball program, yada, yada, yada. So it's got to, that's the minimum standard so that I can, compare that with the deposits. So, and then, so I have some information I can use to audit it as a source document. Under outside offices, number two, recreation fees were not approved by ordinance. They were actually approved by a resolution. Any fee you collect from a municipality has to be done by an ordinance. Any fee. Okay. That's been corrected already.
Yeah.
Next page, under purchasing, the borough did not implement a pay-to-play legislation with respect to awarding of professional service contracts. 2000, and actually I think once Rich got here in 2010, we started when the new contracts rolled over, that's been already taken care of.
Animal Control Trust, formal cash receipts journal was not maintained. We need that, of course, to audit. And unused dog tags were not available for audit. We need to look at the, we use that as like an audit technique. If we purchase 1,500 tags, we only used 1,000, I want to make sure that there's 500 left. And we do the math, you know, because we know how many dogs were neutered, unneutered, and do the multiplication. Store utility fund, daily computer deposits were not available for audit. That was that accounting, that old system that we were using. We in the new system now, in-house, we're able to do that so that I can see if 50 people paid, which 50 people they were, make sure it was deposited within 48 hours, posted to the general ledger correctly, yada, yada, and it goes on. Municipal court, there were 42 tickets assigned but not issued over 181 days. This is something that the AOC requires us to do. It's kind of moot because we have no municipal court anymore. But the bottom line was that if the municipal court administrator issues 100 tickets to Officer Smith, if Officer Smith did not issue those tickets, if they're over 6 months old, they need to be brought back into the system and then reissued. You don't destroy them, you just reissue them, just so we can keep track of them, and that's just an administrator of court, state of New Jersey requirement. Okay. Under payroll, the payroll agency account was not analyzed on a monthly basis. Payroll agency account is the money that you collect from paychecks, for federal tax, state tax, unemployment, PERS, PFRS, the whole nine yards. We need to have an analysis of that, and we compare that with payroll records. It's just another auditing document you need to keep, because we do auditing steps on that. We're coming up with an Excel spreadsheet that we gave to the payroll clerk. She's going to be maintaining that. She started already. Okay. The comments and recommendations, basically, as you can see, except for those financial problems, the receivables and everything, most of it is just house cleaning chores. It's nothing earth-shattering. The problem is that, you know, there was the way things were done with general capital, store capital. You didn't have a general ledger. You didn't know what your receivables were. You didn't have a fully functional general ledger. No one knew what kind of receivables you had, what ordinance they pertained to. Now you do. Now you have the tools. So, unfortunately, the past is the past. We've got to deal with it. And like I said, with a general ledger system, it's going to change things a lot. That's all.
On your recommendations, I looked at the comptroller's audit that they did in April.
When did you start doing our audit? Do you remember what month you started in?
June.
Yeah, it could be just me, but out of the 15 recommendations, I thought three of those were similar to what the comptroller had on their report. Just out of curiosity, because the comptroller's report was already addressed by our manager, but then they show up again. So the recommendations that you're stating here are still need to be corrected.
That's right.
Okay.
And actually, I don't even remember. I read it, but I don't remember what those comments were. I thought they were more administrative audit comments more than financial comments.
Yeah.
So I didn't even realize that I doubled up on theirs.
Okay. If you could help me out on page 37, please. Municipal debt.
Okay.
Go over at the bottom, bond anticipation notes.
Okay.
I'm having a hard time figuring this out. Not surprised. Amount of $3 million issued on March 12, 2009.
Right.
Payable in annual installments through March 13th, 2009.
Right.
That's the one I thought.
That's a typo. Yeah.
I told you, Higgins.
Yeah.
There's another one, too.
Wait a second, wait a second.
On page 38, there's a typo.
Yeah.
On 38, okay. Now,
bond anticipation notes are, what it should say is to probably March 2010. Bond law, state of New Jersey bond law says that every year your bond anticipation note has to roll over annually. You can't issue it more than 1 year. So it's a year-to-year rollover.
Up to 10 years.
Third year, you have to make a principal payment. 10 years, you have to permanently finance it.
In your audit report, could you please just give me the bottom line on the debt? There's an awful lot of pages here that say debt.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I struggle with that on what is the total debt?
It's
39. Out of your audit.
Part of the debt is the SOAR, remember, is your SOAR utility. And as long as your SOAR utility is self-liquidating, meaning that your revenues pay for your appropriations, it's considered self-liquidating and your debt from there is not considered part of your net debt calculation.
So are we adding the principal and the interest?
On page 39 is just your serial bonds. That does not include your bond anticipation notes.
Okay, but
page 36.
36.
Right in the top, you see gross debt, which includes your regional and schools, okay. So you can ignore those. The deduction, if you look the second line down, it says SOAR debt, $8,407,000, but you can see it's deducted in full.
Okay.
Okay, because it's self-liquidating. So you're left with $10,373,929,920.
That's
general debt.
General debt.
That's bond anticipation notes and serial bonds. Your percentage is 1.77% compared to your average equalized value.
So
you've got $10 million in debt.
That's our total debt.
That has to be raised. That has to be raised. The general capital has to be raised through the budget.
Okay.
The $8,407 in SOAR debt, that has to be raised through SOAR user fees. Even though it shows that deducted, that's
so we can just for a guy like me just add those two together. Now we're at 18.
Correct.
19. Now, do you send a cover letter to include with this when it becomes public, that corrected, say typos or what Councilman Boyle and I were saying regarding that whole interfund recommendation as far as being done at year end?
Mm-hmm.
That change to that page?
No, it's kind of carved in stone already.
It's carved, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can we go to page 46? Note 14, risk management, please. This talks about our insurance coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we just found that we weren't covered with the garage, and there was one other thing.
Sewer plant.
Okay. And here it says we've obtained that. Now, this report was written prior to us finding out, I believe, that we didn't have this coverage.
It just says general liability. I don't think it specifically says those two.
No.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No. All right, you're sorry and I kept going.
Yeah,
which
go
one
ahead.
Is it?
Go ahead. I'm sorry and you can keep going.
This basically says that you have you have policies for general liability, automobile coverage, damage, destructions, error, emissions. And just during 2009, you didn't incur any claims in excess of the insurance you're carrying. I'm not an insurance broker. I don't go into that much detail what you have insured and what you don't have insured. That is the function of the manager.
That probably should be, should ask the manager.
Just on that, though, Pat.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with the lawsuit, and normally what happens, that's a contractual claim that would be outside the type of liability coverage that would normally be, come into play?
Well, I was reading this as we were covered, we were insured.
What are you talking about?
I was...
It might not be the appropriate time, but...
Oh, okay.
We got an email recently from the manager, I believe, saying that the sewer plant was not covered adequately, and the garage had no insurance.
Yeah.
And this came about by the risk assessment.
And what I was referring to, this, the way I read it, is we're covered. And I was just, not trying to say, ah, but...
Another issue we'll talk about.
I'm sure.
I'm sorry.
I don't go into what kind of coverages you have. I just basically make a statement that we looked at the insurance policy, and it's for general and all that kind of stuff, so...
Go ahead. I'm saying month or next year.
Okay, that's all I got, unless...
Okay. Before you leave...
And keep going.
Before you leave, one quick question. I asked before the total that we didn't get back, right? And I was told $100,000 in one area, $300,000 for the sewer plant, and now we're up to $1.3 million that we're going to have to raise. $630,000. Is there any more?
You asked about the receivables.
Okay.
That's specific. This is
what
different.
What are we on the hook for over the next couple of years that we have to raise?
18. That part of that $600,000 is part of your debt. So it's $19 million between the general capital and the sewer utility capital.
No, you're missing my point. You're missing the question. Outside the normal.
Close to $1 million. But that's between current general capital and sewer. Because if you recall, the largest interfund you have going from probably 2008 or even earlier is $890,000 between sewer capital, and I think it's sewer operating. I know it's sewer capital, but I think it's sewer operating, $890,000.
Okay.
That interfund is your $300,000 receivable and a $600,000 bond note that you cannot borrow against. That's why that interfund could not be eliminated, and it's going to sit there and be eliminated slowly as you're raising money in the budget. The receivable in general capital that is a little bit over $100,000, we could raise in the budget and, you know, we can pay to the general capital. So overall, if you take pure capital and the general capital together, which they should mix, but if you add all the numbers together, so there are two separate budgets, two separate places to raise, they will be roughly a little bit over $1 million.
Now, you were talking, we can take some of that interfund money and cancel stuff, right?
No.
Improvement authorizations.
We can
cancel old improvement authorizations, if they're funded.
And that has to be done when?
By a resolution. Natasha has to review it, talk to the engineer, make sure the project is completely finished. If it's a funded ordinance, the money is there, we can cancel those ordinances by a resolution, which Natasha will write up, or Rich. You approve it, it flows into your surplus, whether it be general capital surplus, sewer utility surplus. The following year, you can anticipate it as an item of revenue.
Can we do that for next year?
If we cancel it before the end of the year, by a resolution, it'll flow in before the end of the year, and then for the 2011 budget.
Okay, so we're in September now. How long is this going to take for us to be able to do that?
Well, I'm not 100% sure you have many ordinances that you can cancel, because most of your ordinances are committed almost to the house.
Okay.
You weren't rounding numbers when you were doing bond ordinances.
Okay. We're in September now. Are we going to know before the end of the year all of them that we can cancel for next year? I mean, are we going to have to go into next year and say, oh, this one we could have done,
well,
and now we can't do
it
somewhere?
You have ordinances that are funded by notes, not bonds.
Okay.
it gives you no benefit to cancel them because they're not really funded. So if you cancel them, you're losing the ability to improve whatever project you have and you're getting zero money for it. So I only need to look at the ordinance that are funded by bonds, but by serial bonds.
Serial bonds.
And that's not the...
Or capital improvement fund, if they were fully funded by capital improvement. So I'm sort of not misleading you, but the funded portion is basically serial bonds or through cap, if you raised it through the budget or capital improvement fund monies or capital surplus. Nothing to do with a bond anticipation note or any other debt, because the debt, you cancel it and you reduce your debt right from the get-go.
Okay,
you still
so
can do it. You still
we're
can
gonna
do
it this year so it can be canceled next year.
Yep.
No, you're going to cancel it. We're going to do the resolution this year so you can anticipate the money in the next year budget.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
But that's, right. We got to do the research on it
okay.
first.
So, are we going to have this, are we going to have a special meeting in December?
No.
I think what Natasha's saying, though, is there won't necessarily be that
$890,000. Oh, no, there's not going to be $890,000.
I think that's what you're counting on.
No, I'm not counting on the $890,000.
We might be lucky if we have $150,000.
But that still reduces our payment.
Or more.
Debt, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of debt, a debt payment of $800,000, that would reduce it by $150,000, right?
Right.
That's less money out of the taxpayer's pocket. That's
exactly.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Any other questions from council? Mrs. Gleba.
Why certainly.
Well, first of all, I wanted to say thank you to both of you because I wanted to say that initially when I first started asking my questions because I found the audit extremely helpful, you know, as a newcomer to council and even just learning all the lingo and terminology. And I do think, and Councilman Boyle, you know, stated this last meeting, that we really are on the right track. I mean, some of it was bad news, you know, like learning these numbers tonight, but I think now we have a handle on them. It's just a matter of moving forward. So I did want to commend you both because I really think you have a thorough knowledge and you really know the numbers even right off the top of your head, which I haven't gotten before. I just have one quick little question. I was just curious in sewer numbers on page 22, and I don't even know if you would know the answer. I was just wondering, why was there such a dramatic decrease between 2008 and 2009 in revenues for reserve capacity charges and industrial commercial permit fees?
In
2000. You don't know? Does anyone know? Like what happened? In, like
say that again. The difference in reserve capacity.
Are you on page 22?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Page 22. There is a dramatic decrease between 2008 and 2009 in revenues for reserve capacity charges and industrial commercial permit fees. I'm just wondering if we're missing out on revenue somewhere or why all of a sudden we don't have these things.
Didn't one of your big users turn in capacity?
No, actually what happened was they weren't paying for it and we got paid for it in 2008.
Oh, so it's like a windfall then in that year.
Yeah.
But no, that was our commercial users. That was our
they were
two biggest,
to
our three biggest
company.
Okay.
Our
so,
three
so
biggest
the normal
users.
The normal revenue number was 2009. In 2008, it was an anomaly because you were getting recouping
right.
money from years past.
Right.
Gotcha. Then let's see. I guess going along with what Councilman Higgins was just saying, only because you might be leaving after this.
Leaving me what?
No way.
I guess I would really like to have, and I don't know if this is something that would be the manager's recap or something that you know I'll make sure that he knows. But it would, you know, if we could have like a status when some of these things, like Common 8, is completed in 2010, or an exact timeline. Well, when we're going to know these improvements, you know, when you're going to be done with the research, and you know, just so we can ensure that you know it is done in 2010, you know, to find that money for 2011, and like, if we could get like a game plan for, you know, reducing our debt and just,
That is like Natasha's, I think, main focus right now, because like I said, everything is functioning where she wants it. Now things are smoother where she can do this kind of research because she doesn't have to worry about all the other day-to-day stuff.
Right.
It's like the machine's moving. So now she can concentrate when she comes in and look at these kind of things. I don't know what her, you know, what Rich dumps on her, but
right,
hopefully...
Right, exactly. I mean, I don't know if it's an action item for Rich, but, I mean, it is something
I think Rich needs to definitely have it put on his plate.
Yeah, I mean, the plan to, raise so those deferred charges from comment number 7, right. I mean, there's some, there were some glaring things that I think we need to, follow through on so we don't have to continue this.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I did want to, thank you both for everything.
Mr. Turchin, do you have anything that you wish to add? Or?
No, but if you have any other questions on the corrective action plan, before I will be leaving them. I'll look at the answer any questions.
Well, that's coming up for vote, correct?
Yes.
All right. So you're going to be here for that?
I'll be here for that, and then
all right.
The application.
That's when I'll comment.
Okay.
I'll hang out.
Okay, good. Well, does council have any other questions for Mr. Ferry or Ms. Turchin?
No, but I, too, would just like to say that my frustration, although pointed at you two, is misguided. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Before we go and open up for the audience, I would like to take a 10-minute break.
So move.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. So you're able to get back in session now? What I'm going to do is I'm going to open up to the audience for questions of the auditor or the financial officer. I don't want to get too involved into it. I don't want to go until midnight tonight, so I'll cut it off at about a half an hour, and I'll limit you to about 2 questions unless there's nobody behind you. And at this point, I'll open up the audience for any questions of our auditor or our chief financial officer. Mr. DeLoba, you look like you're ready.
I think I'm the best, too, but...
Well, if there's nobody behind you who wants to speak, I'll let you go a little longer.
All right, thank you.
But I just want to make sure everybody has an opportunity.
I don't know where to begin other than, obviously, audit. It's definitely needed, and thank you for coming up with that. How long did you wind up digging in to do this audit?
It's a continual process, but usually about 2 to 3 weeks.
2 to 3 weeks. Okay. The comptroller actually set 17 items when we were talking about it. I asked Rich at the beginning, and he said he'd address 10. There were 7 to be addressed yet. I don't know if those have been addressed or not, but that was a curiosity more than a question because Rich is not here, so I can't ask him.
I can give you a little bit of an answer on that.
Yeah.
A lot of them are being addressed, but there's some of them that have not been because there's been no function of that particular finding that was on the comptroller's report.
Okay.
Such as there's been no bidding.
Right.
So there are certain things.
Contracts and bidding.
They can't
and stuff,
see
yeah.
whether it's been done or not, but most everything has been addressed in some way, shape, or form, and a lot of them are done.
Okay. The $630,000, if it did not go for the project it was declared for, where did it go? It went into an inter-fund. It went somewhere to fund something else.
Because the ordinance is so old, you cannot go back and borrow the money. So while the funds were expended, they now need to be raised in some form or fashion to get the cash for the project that was expended.
So the funds were expended from where? Where did those funds come from?
I think it's sewer operating.
Sewer capital.
Well,
it was
cash
payments
from sewer operating.
Are you looking at the interfund, or are you looking at the $631,000, the unfunded portion?
The $631,000 came
for,
from...
It was for an approval authorization for improvement to the wastewater treatment plant. This was just part of the big ordinance, because anytime you do anything with a sewer treatment plant, a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But this was the unfunded portion that never got funded. So So it needs to be raised in the next year's budget to start paying this thing off.
So where did the money initially come from to fund that we took from to pay Paul?
When we had the ordinance in place, when we raised bond anticipation notes, we didn't have a sort of capital bank account. It was all running through general fund. So that's where this big interfund occurred.
Right, understand.
The first thing I saw when I got here, I said, did you need to create a sort of capital? You need to separate those two because the accounting is a nightmare.
Understand.
So it was part of interfund where all that money was received.
If you look on page 21.
Well, he doesn't have out there.
I would love to. And when is that going to be available?
I believe it'll be on the website shortly.
Thank you.
There's an electronic copy of it.
I will. Thank you.
There's interfund between pure capital and general capital, which is what Tom referred to.
Yes, I understand.
Well, $899,000. That $899,000 is roughly the $600,000 of bonds and notes authorized not issued, and about $300,000 of receivables that we're not going to collect. So that's why this interfund is on the books and will be eliminated, but not in one single separating. It will be slowly spent out.
The funds, the 630, were spent by taking it from
general capital.
Okay. So the general capital is kind of being used as just a slush fund to flow things through, in a sense.
Call it a slush fund. They temporarily had cash because the project in general capital wasn't needing it at that particular point of time.
All right.
Because we had to slow down the construction. And
it's not being done now. I mean, because we're not doing it.
Sometimes the state makes you spend the money first.
Right.
Before you get the money. It's an accounting nightmare, and it really shouldn't happen. But that's the way the state runs their shows sometimes. So you do need to periodically borrow from one fund to another to fund the program and then pay it back as soon as the money comes in once you submit it to the state.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, because the last time, one of the meetings, that did come up, that we have practices that are common to boroughs and other places that don't make sense for us anymore, period, because it's gotten us so deep.
We're not doing any more projects.
Well, I know. And when we start them again, we can't operate under those conditions because they got us so deep into the hole. It's interesting that in two and a half weeks or 3 weeks that you've been working on this, and that how many recommendations did you make?
I don't know. 415.
15 recommendations. The comptroller, looking at 10% of our budget, came up with 17 recommendations. It's interesting looking at this in a detailed format over a five-year period. That may be very helpful for everybody here in terms of researching, not repeating the same things, and making sure we don't make the same mistakes. There's other questions, but I know there's some people that can speak more intelligently than I can about this, because math is not my forte, but I do appreciate the research. Is there one other question I do have? Because this came up one other time, and we discovered that, and you brought it up, that we had grant money sitting at some state or federal agency of $380,000 or $388,000 that wasn't accounted for, that all of a sudden they asked, are you going to get it or you're not going to get it? Basically, that's what Rich said. Do we have anything else outstanding that should be coming to us in some form or another over the last 6-7 year period, or as far back as we can? I know you didn't go back that far.
If you're asking regarding DOT grants or large grants like that 380, then we don't have anything coming to us.
Nothing at all, supposedly, coming to us.
I'm saying as far as the DOT grants or large grants. If we have $100 coming from somewhere, I haven't gotten to that level of detail yet. You start big and...
Oh, yeah, and you work small. Okay, but I mean, aside from DOT and those other ones, anybody else, I may not be using the right lingo. I just wanted to make sure nothing else is supposedly coming to. Okay.
I think, if I could, you answered that with the 100,000 and the 300,000, right?
That's the receivables we're not getting.
That we're not
getting. We're not getting those. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Sure. Anyone else?
Good evening. Evelyn Morrison, 19 Lincoln.
I have a question, and you did a really good job on the area that you researched, and thank you for being using lay terms that all of us could understand. I would like to know, what was your sample size? Did you, because the DPW garage was not mentioned tonight, and I was wondering if you had a chance to review that financial documentation in this particular audit. So, question, sample size and DPW garage.
The first, we pick sample sizes, we do two types of tests.
Mm-hmm.
One is a compliance test.
Yes.
Which makes sure that there's a procedure, let's say, that a voucher goes through.
Yes.
And that sample size is roughly 25, because what we're checking for, we're not looking for dollars, we're making sure that the CFO signs off on it.
Yeah.
When goods are received, there's an authorizing signature that the document was received, or the merchandise was received, or the services were rendered.
Correct.
We check to make sure that there's a backing invoice, there's a claimant signature. So we test every fund, we check about 25 of those.
Okay.
Then what we do is a substantive test, where we determine based upon the municipality size.
Yes.
We come up with a number, and we test every voucher over that dollar amount. I don't have that number with me.
That's okay.
A municipality size could be up to like $10,000, $15,000.
Yes.
We check every voucher to make sure it was charged to the proper year and charged to the proper account.
Okay.
Okay, that's a substantive test. Then what we do, so by the time we get done, we audit payroll, which of course is a major, major expense because municipalities are service-oriented corporations. So we check payroll. We do our substantive test. We get verification notices from the county,
mm-hmm.
from the schools, because we have to pay them too.
Yes.
So by the time we get done, we've audited roughly 90-something percent
okay.
of the expenditure that comes through. And
so that is substantial.
Very.
Okay. And the other question I had was, when you presented about the system, the Edmund system.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was doing some research before, and there's a resolution in the past that the Edmund system should have been used a while ago. Did you discover that?
No. The Edmund system was actually implemented 1 year before I became the auditor.
Which was? Excuse me.
2009.
Because I thought that...
2008 was implemented. No, 2009 I was the auditor. It was implemented halfway through 2008.
Okay, because that's where I saw that resolution. And they didn't implement that system at that time? Excuse me. Was the Edmund system implemented in 2008 at all?
Yes.
So it was, but yet...
Not fully, though.
Okay.
We had it before 2008.
Yeah, we had parts of it before 2008.
But it wasn't
okay. really being used to its full potential. It wasn't used until you folks came in.
Okay, so that brings it together for me.
Natasha is the...
I think the different, like, purchasing and accounts payable and everything we've been used probably since before. We just make sure that all the accounts tied up and, revenues are tied up and things like that. But
so it seems like from what you said... I'm sorry.
It was the present town manager that made mistakes.
Okay.
They had reported they weren't used.
So it seems like certain applications were used of the Edmund system, but yet the whole system
right.
was not used. Okay. That was that. And then Rich had mentioned about documentations needing to be recreated. Did you come across this?
You mean double?
In the comptroller's report, there was one of the recommendations that certain documentations had to be presented, but they were not found. And it was before Rich's time, so they didn't get a chance to, they don't know who was responsible or what the control was, but they had to recreate. He says they're recreating documents. Did you come across any of
no.
recreated documents?
No.
Okay. That's all the questions I have. Thank you very much.
Mrs. Shaw, you look like you were ready to go next.
the admin system. Is it used for payroll?
Name and address, please.
Okay.
The name and address.
I'm sorry. Penny Shaw, 22 School Street.
Thank you.
Is the admin system used for account, for the payroll?
As far as what?
As far as...
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of issuing checks. Use ADP. Now, ADP, I used to work for ADP. So I know that they can give you, they give it to you at the end of the year, and there's a cost to get it, the amounts, quarterly. But I know they give you, with the checks, a summation of all the SUI, the Social Security, the FICA, the Fed, and all that information. And my question was, I know they can also give it to you in Excel format. Why is time being spent to re-enter it into the Excel by someone in the offices downstairs? Because that's what I heard that...
If the ADP is going to give you what was collected, they're not going to give you what was extended or paid out to the state or to any other third-party provider. What auditors need is the analysis of how much came in and how much came out to see the balances for each category. So ADP can't give you that.
Okay, but that wasn't what, at least that wasn't what I heard. What I heard was specifically regarding payroll, was a tally of how much payroll, of the portion of payroll, was sent out to government.
The comment and recommendation said that we need an analysis of the payroll agency account. So if $50,000 was deposited for a payroll, and I need a spread that makes that up. Now, yes, we can use ADP's report as long as it agrees with what we deposited.
Right.
That's great. And now when we cut the checks or they're wired out by ACH,
okay,
then we have to record the disbursement.
Right.
Now, what happens, there's always that timing lapse where we collect the money and it doesn't get dispersed until, like, say, the following month.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
At the end of the year, if there's cash left in that payroll agency account, I want to know what makes it up.
Right.
And then what, being that, of course, auditing is a great thing because the books close 12/31 and I come in and audit, you know, later on, I actually can verify those payables by looking at subsequent year's checks, and that's actually an audit step, to make sure that that payable for FICA, for federal withholding, for SUI, for PERS, for TPAF, those payables are valid, meaning that they exist and they're correct. So that's why I need that analysis. But yes, we could sort of implement ADP numbers for the receipt part.
Yeah, at least you wouldn't have to recreate.
Right.
You know, you get the
document.
But
it's only 26 pages. It shouldn't take that long. You figure once a month, 26 pages.
I just know that in my company they were doing stupid things like having me re-enter stuff into Excel, and I said, you can get this from ADP.
Yeah.
And it will send you in Excel format. And I don't have to spend the time to retype everything in for you.
Well, we can see if it works, if we can import it into, you know, that would be a major...
They should.
Yeah.
Sure. At least save somebody some time.
Okay.
Okay. The question came up about... What was the word? Phrasing that we used. Periodical? Or period? Periodic? With regards to balancing the interfunds, and the question was whether periodic meant at the end of the month or if that meant yearly. May I suggest quarterly as an option or semi-annually? At least you're not hit with it at the end of the year when everything happens. If you review it quarterly, at least you have, at least, you know, you all have a better idea of where things stand. And three quarters worth in advance of before you get hit with everything else in November that happens here. I'm just trying to save you guys a headache. You may not want to do it on a monthly basis because it may be too much work with everything else you're doing, but at least if you do it quarterly, it might be something you want to review. That was the only thing I had to say about that. There is a question about corrective actions. Jeff, you wanted to bring it up?
No.
He's doing the other half. Because it is his area of expertise.
No.
Yeah,
Jeff Riker, 22 School Street. I have one question. I'm coming at a slightly different angle. When I have to submit a corrective action report to corporate, documented within that whole document and as entirely, I also have to document the mechanism that I use to determine effectiveness of the corrective action and subsequent follow-up. Is that in this document? And if so, what is that mechanism? Will you be doing sub-audits, or is that going to be in a quarterly report?
What's in the document, usually Natasha prepares it, but the minimum standard is a minimum standard. It basically says, this is a comment, how are you going to fix it, and how long is it going to basically take? Then, when the next year comes along for the audit, we'll review those corrective actions to make sure that they were implemented. So it's an ongoing process.
Yes, it is an ongoing process.
Yeah.
Do you plan on doing it more than is required or just the state requirement?
If you do, what kind of format do you use? Corrective action plan.
The standard format coming in.
The comment, the recommendation, and the explanation, and corrective action.
Do those corrective actions actually have time periods assigned to them? Because we can't see them.
No, they said the date it's going to start being implemented or has it been implemented already. But it's the start of the implementation date because there are certain things here that could not be, you know, eliminated in 12-month period. There are certain that could hours be done.
Okay.
So it just says when the starting period that they're going to get this.
Okay.
One other question. Any plan to do any sub-audit checks on any of the ledgers during the course of the year?
No.
Okay.
We do come in November to start updating some students' audit testing so that we don't get bombarded.
Right.
And it's not a sub-audit, but we can pick up on certain things before year end. So if that's, you consider that a sub-audit, I would say yes.
Usually a snapshot of the books.
Well, we do look at the general ledgers because we do have to look at, you know, if we're pulling vouchers or something and make sure they're charged to the proper account that we have the general ledger up and running. And then we get a good idea whether or not the bank records are being done monthly, you know. So we do, not formally, but it is done informally. We do get some information.
Informally. So if you come across a discrepancy on an informal, what is your procedure?
We meet with whoever the problem is. We talk to the manager, we talk to the CFO, and correct it for year end.
Do you file an addendum on the corrective action plan if you file a discrepancy?
Well, I don't know if the corrective action plan has to be done if it's fully implemented before the end of the audit. So the corrective action plan would be done already because we filed it in November and it was corrected before year end. Even though my audit, I still might have to possibly comment on it because it occurred throughout the whole year between January and November. But the corrective action plan would basically say, we found this problem, we implemented it in November, so really there is no corrective action.
Like the recreation fee ordinance, I mean that was
okay.
Completed.
All right.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different circumstances for it.
That's what I was curious about.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anyone else would like to ask a question?
We have just a couple minutes left.
Okay.
The two questions I have for you is, what is your recommendation for the oversight for all of the grants? Because it appeared that grants were being applied for independently, and there is a committee, a grants committee. So what would that recommendation look like in order to ensure that there's a continuity in application, monitoring, follow-up?
That has nothing to do with the grant committee.
Then it's even more important to hear that.
Basically, again, I've said it a couple times already, we have a functional general ledger. Now there's a way to track these things. When you didn't have a general ledger, you didn't know what the receivable was or the reserve. We do have a fully functional general ledger, and Natasha is just going to stay on top of it.
That would be the responsibility of the CFO.
Yes.
To make sure that they have a handle on all of that. Okay, and the other question is, when it comes to the squeeze period and it's the budget time to look at the budget, is it recommended to go through the budget line by line and eliminate or to reduce the line item, or would you recommend another process?
I don't get involved in the budget process. That's not an audit function. I've got to maintain my independence, and that's a purely management function.
Okay.
I do make sure that the budget is in agreement with the state of New Jersey statute, but that's as far as I go.
Okay, can we...
I don't make recommendations.
Can we extract you from your current position as auditor and as an accountant to comment?
No.
Just like that, okay.
I'm not trying to be rude.
That's okay.
I think Natasha would actually be, she's done a million budgets. She would be the one to ask.
Okay. So Natasha, he's referring to you.
Yes.
What would be the recommended process in terms of looking at the budget and reducing it?
Are you asking as far as the residents looking at the budget or as far as the governing body?
No, when we're in a budget crunch and it's council's decision to look at the budget and kind of tweak it for perhaps a state review. What would your recommendation, would you go through the budget line by line and eliminate or deduct the line item?
I wouldn't, because if you go line by line, you actually are hurting the entire town and you're not achieving anything but cutting a couple of dollars from every line item, then you have every program that is substandard. Mm-hmm. What you need to do is look at the global picture and say, what is it this town needs and what is it that is luxury this town has?
Right.
And then look at through this way and say, maybe we could leave this out, you know, Christmas tree lights.
Okay.
And that will save more than if you cut out, you know, from recreation, from the swimming pool or some other program.
Okay.
So I would do globally. I wouldn't go through every line item because what do you accomplish if you take $1,000 supplies and make it $950? You've got $50.
Okay.
But you need to look globally first. And if that doesn't achieve the result, then you can go line by line. But I would look globally first.
Okay, that's good instruction. So that perhaps the next time around when the budget is being reviewed, that would not be the necessary process, but a holistic approach to what the function of the dollars are, not necessarily the amount. Thank you very much.
Okay. And we'll call the audience portion there, and we will move on with our resolutions. Thank you all. We have Resolution 162-2010, which is a resolution of the governing body certification of the annual audit.
I move Resolution 162-2010.
Second. Okay, is there any discussion on this?
Yes, with thanks to Mr. Ferry.
Ditto. And Ms. Turchin.
I was going to get her at the next one.
Okay.
Mayor, this resolution only requires us to have an understanding of the comments and recommendations, correct?
That is my understanding of it, yes.
Okay,
may I have a roll call on this one, please?
Alvo?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Leva?
Yes.
Hagan?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Nicole?
Yes. Next up, we have 163-2010, a resolution authorizing submission of corrective action plan for the Borough of Washington, County of Warren, State of New Jersey.
Move Resolution 163-2010, with thanks to Natasha.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on this one?
Yeah, I do, Mayor.
Certainly.
This resolution here requires council to have knowledge that these items were already implemented. Maybe that's for you, Dick. Do you have the resolution in front of you?
Can you just give it to me,
Scott? Or is it just that they are compiled and that's the direction we're going?
Compiled and being worked on is how I understood them.
Well, what the resolution says is that now, therefore, it be resolved by the Mayor and Council of the Borough of Washington that the CFO is hereby authorized to submit a corrective action plan as noted and to ensure that all provisions are complied with by the deadline so listed. So this is an instruction to the CFO as compared to any obligation on you. You're saying, as I read it anyway, the CFO is hereby authorized to submit the correction action plan and to ensure that all provisions are complied with. So it's the a direction to the CFO to carry out the corrective action plan.
So it doesn't put any onus back on council saying that we do understand that these corrective action plans are actually being utilized?
That's not what that resolution says.
Okay.
My reading of it.
And just one quickly then, it did use the word deadline. So what is a deadline that this has to be to DCA? Do we know?
60 days after the audit submitted.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other discussion?
I guess I would just, I don't know if it's, since the resolution's already written, I mean, I do still have a problem with that comment number one and the inter-fund balance with regards to the timeframe and what your recommendation is and...
He should think that you've used periodically. I actually...
But I thought he said it should be done, closed out by year end. That's where
it should be closed out. Like, I can review it daily, you know, my time allows, but by the end of the year, I need to minimize the number of inter-funds still outstanding. I mean, there's always going to be
if you could just add that, though, that, you know, and all the explanation, the corrective action plan, and like, it doesn't say that anything about year end.
Well, it does. If you read it, it says that all inter-fund balances reviewed on a monthly basis. In other words, you're going to review them. And all possible inter-funds eliminated at month end. All possible inter-funds. So in other words, if you have the money, you pay it off. Then the last line is funds for the inter-funds that could not be eliminated will be raised in subsequent budgets to eliminate inter-funds. So it's basically saying, if you can't pay them off at the end of the year, which very likely you can't, you're going to do it in the subsequent years.
It just guarantees that you're going to continue, you know, try to pay down debt.
So it addresses your concern.
Okay.
Any other discussion? A roll call on this one also, please.
Albert?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Boyle?
No.
Higgins?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Lira?
Yes.
Okay. I'd like to deviate a little bit from the agenda here and go to Resolution 161, 2010, which is a resolution of the Borough of Washington making application to the local finance board. I just want to do that while Mr. Ferry and Ms. Turchin are here.
I'll move that.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on this?
Yep.
Yep.
Go ahead. Please first.
Thank you. Under C, whereas the mayor and council of the Borough of Washington believes that C, the proposal is an efficient and feasible means of providing services for the needs of the inhabitants of the Borough of Washington and will not create an undue financial burden to be placed upon the Borough of Washington. Doesn't it mean that we are creating a financial burden? I mean, it's a potential 32-cent tax hike. I mean...
Natasha, I see you nodding your head, so please.
That resolution is a standard resolution that the state requires you to adopt.
I don't agree with the statement.
Well,
okay, it's a standard resolution.
It's not up to us what to write, what not to. They provide you the actual resolution service. It's a resolution that needs to be adopted and mailed to us if you would like to appear in front of us. So we don't have much room in the language we want to use. And absolutely, I mean, if you go in for the cap waiver, it will...
That's the whole point of going for the cap waiver, so that we don't...
Burden, but hopefully, if we get transitional aid, we won't have to go for the waiver.
Right.
But we have to have that resolution in place, because we don't know when the state is going to come up with transitional aid numbers. We are hoping before September meeting, because if they don't, many, many municipalities in the state will not be able to adopt the budget and have a tax rate, so...
That was my question.
Okay. I'm sure it says in the application what the total, what it is that we're asking them to waive, right? The total
it's
amount?
It's like 574 or 570.
And why are we doing this before we know what we're getting in transitional aid?
The actual meeting for the local finance board is September 17th. They won their package yesterday. In fact, we already mailed everything by the resolution to them because in order to be on the agenda, they need to have it well advanced to schedule everything. If we do get transitional aid between now and 17th, we will pull ourselves from the agenda and we'll never have to appear. But if you don't and you miss the deadline, then you will not make it to the agenda until October. If you don't make it there until October,
you will not be able to adopt your budget, you will not be able to start the tax rate. If you don't do that, you will not be able to mail your tax bill and send it in the mid tax.
Any other questions? Okay.
All right, I have another question.
Sure.
Why are we doing this at such a late time? If we knew that they had to be there by the 17th, today is the 7th, why?
Well, that's your next available meeting. We have mailed all the paperwork to them at least, what, a week, 2 weeks ago?
I understand that, but this is something that we probably should have discussed at our last meeting.
Of course, we're also hoping for the transitional aid numbers to be available in August, as they promised, but it's now September 7th, and
so we have to do this to get put on their agenda.
Correct.
And then to be put on their agenda, you two are going down there to plead our case.
Correct.
On the 17th.
If we have.
What is the 17th?
No, it's couldn't be Friday.
Yeah, it's a Friday.
Is it then? It's maybe the day before or something.
Can anybody from the council go with you?
Sure.
As many people.
Is your vacation day?
Yeah, I will.
Yes, I mentioned it's Friday, so it's got to be
Tuesday,
Thursday. So maybe 16th. Okay, the actual meeting was scheduled for this Thursday night, but we got an email that they canceled August meeting and they're pushing everything late to September because they're hoping the transition aid numbers will be released and many people will drop off agenda once they get their transitional aid numbers.
Okay.
Well, I don't understand. Why should we be penalized anyway if we're waiting on the state to give us an answer on transitional aid? Shouldn't they work together with the local board finance?
Welcome to you're living in a perfect world.
Welcome to New Jersey.
Pat McNamara did know that this was coming.
Yes. I mean, we emailed the rest of the package already, all the applications, but this is the only information.
Okay. Any other questions? Have a roll call, please.
Hopper?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Doyle?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Weaver?
Yes.
Yes. So that we have no ordinances this evening. That brings us to reports.
We receive and file the reports.
Yeah, thank you.
Second. Okay, any discussion on any of the reports?
Mayor, I do.
Certainly.
On the manager's weekly report, 813. Good night. Thank you.
Thank you.
The third paragraph.
Cool.
About the status of transitional aid. Okay. I was just curious. Did we send in our toolkit to the state toolkit? There's a deadline of October 1st. We're supposed to answer a whole bunch of questions to get, they score you. Are you familiar with that one?
I have heard of it. I am unfamiliar with the status of it, though.
Okay. Because it is a deadline. It's for the 2011 budget, but there is a deadline in a month.
Okay. I want to say it's been done, but I don't remember positively.
Okay. I have a copy of it if you, to expedite that. Okay. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay, any other discussion on the reports?
I have something. Yeah, I don't even know what the name of this thing is that Debbie takes track of.
The service request.
Okay. Are we getting paid for all the work our DPW is doing that's on here?
Bills are being sent out.
They are.
Correct?
Lawns being mowed, weeds being cut on private property.
I think we had planned on putting a lien on the property.
That's normally what's done.
Okay.
Is there not a bill that's sent out first to give them the opportunity to pay?
They're abandoned property.
Okay.
We would put a lien on the property when the property's sold.
Okay.
And who does that mean?
We do.
Yeah, I know.
But it's presented to you in the form of a resolution, and then it's attached to the property.
Okay. So you draw that lien up, or does
manager along with payroll and DPW.
Okay.
Compile the hours and the salary, and that would become the billing itself. And I think when we have those numbers, we'll prepare the resolution.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Committee reports. Do you have any committee reports this evening?
Actually, I do, Mayor. Borough of Hampton called me. They've got their numbers available. And I'm going down there tomorrow. Anybody else want, excuse me?
Is that for the garbage, sir?
Yeah, I'm sorry, for the garbage. I'm going down there tomorrow to speak with the officials at Borough of Hampton. Anybody else wants to come? 7 o'clock. I'll take orders now. Hearing done. I'll let you know what happens. Well, actually, you know, I mean, they did give me numbers. I don't want to say anything out in public right now because, you know, those things could change. But at least they contacted, so I'll be down here tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay.
At their municipal building?
At their municipal building in Hampton.
I may attend.
All right. Let me know, you know. As far as the streets, we got the meeting on the 13th. I did run around and look at all the private roads that were listed. I want to catch up with Rich later on. You guys saw some of the emails going back and forth. You know, he's looking for an ordinance to establish maintaining these roads. I'm looking at it as a safety issue with the snow removal and the ice and things like that, which we discussed at last 2009 winter, 2010. Now, for Richard Cushing, we did see the opinion paper from your office from Ms. Staples. And if we are going to continue to maintain these private roads, then we have to define the word maintain. So, that being said, my recommendation to the manager was to at least adopt an ordinance that we were going to maintain these roads, but I certainly want to know exactly how far we want to maintain these roads. You know, I'm looking at it as a safety issue with the snow and the ice. You know, and then if you talk to the DPW guys, you know, how are they going to plow if they can't keep going straight? And if we plow into these roads, now we just created what? It's a real quagmire. So Mr. Phelan was seen to be under the gun of getting something done because the year's upon us very quickly for the wintertime.
I mean, I would think that maintain should be plow. Are these roads paved?
North Jackson Ave isn't. Yeah, I don't know. You saw my email. I was trying to describe where these roads were.
Most of them are not.
I mean, Gardner's Court, Marble Street's paved very nicely. This little thing out here is paved. That's not the name of the road, but.
Yeah. This little thing out here, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean.
Plowing should be done at a minimum, I would think.
Mr. Cushing, can we specify how to maintain, quote, private roads that way?
I think an ordinance.
In an ordinance?
Yeah. You would define exactly what you're going to do. The other thing is, just a question to think about. The property owners consent to coming on there?
Well, they were here last year when they got word that we weren't going to plow them.
And some of them, we don't know who the owner is.
True.
That I don't think is a problem, but the ones that you just need to make sure you have that people, you get consents from people. It's actually, I mean, it's private property, so.
Yes, you're right. No, I don't hear.
Yeah, I think just as a practical matter, but.
So we're saying here we can go forward with an ordinance about defining the word maintain, which is snow, ice removal, salting. I want to be very careful in how we word this. Because, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, because I do remember a conversation about you have a streets ordinance and it says it's got to be sidewalks and lighting and you know, all that stuff. I'm not interested in going that far.
Well, that's a public, you would make, that's for a public
if
road.
We take them.
That's for a public road, yeah.
Or pothole filling.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you know what you need to do? You need to have a provision in there that says that you have the right to withdraw the maintenance at any time. In other words, this isn't a commitment forever, even though it may end up being that way. You want to give yourself that particular option.
So the opinion paper from your office for an ordinance was to do what, sir?
To draw an ordinance authorizing the action, the maintenance. The degree of maintenance would be for the borough manager and the road department people to figure out what they can reasonably do, subject, of course, to your approval.
That should be stated in the ordinance.
Yeah. You need to think about exactly the degree of maintenance that's appropriate. I think that requires some discussion with the manager and
engineer.
The road department.
Road department.
And the engineer.
Yeah. Okay.
Just so we can write the right words, the words that you want written in there.
Well, I did give a recommendation to the manager for an ordinance. Then, you know, it was just what I had repeated before. If there's more to it...
Maybe, Pat, the thing to do, if that's the consensus of council, that you want to maintain them, and maybe you want to make you plow, I don't know, what else do you want to do?
Salting, plowing.
Winter maintenance, okay.
And, pothole repair.
Okay. Pothole repair within the discretion of the manager?
Whatever our procedures and policies are now with public roads.
That could get into the fact of doing an overlayment too, though, because in some places we've been doing that on the curbing.
I think, Pat, it would make sense to have some discussion before the council goes too far in terms of this. I really think you should get some input from the road department as to what their thinking and what their recommendations would be. Because they may say, well, we can't do that for whatever reason.
Well, this came from the manager.
Okay.
The manager was looking towards the streets committee to make a recommendation to him. So, you know, I'm not going to repeat the email. On the streets is the mayor and Terry.
Why don't you just invite the DPW superintendent to your meeting?
That's a good suggestion.
Okay.
Yeah, just have a meeting.
Yeah.
And do you want to then direct the manager to prepare the ordinance so it gets on the, you know, gets ready?
He wants the ordinance.
Yeah. And then we can, you know,
sure.
Get before you, you know, once you get that input, then you can kind of move the process along by getting the ordinance before you. Then if you don't like the language, we can always adjust the language.
Okay.
Does that seem reasonable?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, am I to contact the manager to start that up, or...?
I think if council votes it, it'll, you know, the acting this, manager...
All right.
...will pass that information on, and he'll get it.
I think before we do that, though, we have to have input from the DPW and the Streets Committee so we know exactly what to put in the ordinance.
How about this? Based on the meeting with the Streets Committee, the DPW superintendent, and the manager on the 13th, based on their recommendations from that, they prepare a draft ordinance to introduce at the next council meeting.
That seems reasonable. I mean, I don't think you're not going to drill down terribly deeply in the ordinance as to the actions that are going to be taken. You've got to give some discretion to the, obviously, the manager to, and, you know, his people. So you generally authorize it, and then it would be subsequently, if you felt not enough work was being done in terms of maintaining the roads, then you'd have discussions with the manager about increasing the amount. But the ordinance would give the general authority to do it without giving exquisite detail about what has to be done.
Okay.
And in the ordinance, we have to list the specific private... roads or streets.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
That way, if something, a new development pops up somewhere that we need to, a new developer can come in and say, well, you just have
streets. Well, that would be a different, in other words, these would be existing private roads. A new developer coming in would have to comply with the subdivision ordinance.
Right. Pat, you were talking about Marble Court. Which one are you talking on, the South Lincoln side or on South Prospect side?
That would be South Prospect, right?
Okay.
Do you guys call that Gardner's Court area?
Well, Gardner's Court goes off to the left,
and then
first road to the left.
Then there's Marble Street, right?
Marble Street not really named Marble Street.
Okay.
It goes to the end.
Yeah.
And you go around and come back to the cul-de-sac.
Right.
All right. That and also the two-lane in between the houses there.
Correct.
Now, that Marble Street, Mr. Winkler gave me information, I believe it was back in the 80s, that they had an agreement with Washington Borough that they sold their rights to that area behind the house there on the far side, Marble Court.
Okay.
And they had actually sold their rights to that property. And we were supposed to enact an ordinance to take over that street. There's nowhere, I've done some research, and there's nowhere that is there an ordinance that we took that over. Now, I have all the paperwork that he gave me. So maybe we can discuss that.
Excellent. I mean, yeah. Ms. Blanchard, will you be able to get that to Rich?
You need a motion?
He did.
Okay.
Well, second. Further discussion. Be able to get that to Rich then? The 13th of September, we have a committee meeting. It will be at 7 o'clock and DPW. Okay. Well, he's the individual that wanted the ordinance in the first place, so we need input from the manager's office. Okay.
7 o'clock p.m. or a.m.?
p.m. Very good. Okay? Thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion on the motion? Okay, hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, do we have any other committee reports?
The Senior Services Committee met on August 25th, and no one showed up. And the garage continues to do really well. We're looking forward to the finishing of it.
How much longer do you think is on that? Do you have any idea?
I think the original was about 3 to 4 weeks. It might be a little longer.
Yeah, because I know everything outside is supposed to be done. Well, at least it looks like it when I drove by. Okay, any other committee reports? Hearing none. We have no old business. There's some new business. Approval of a bingo license for the Knights of Columbus. Everything in order, Ms. Blanchard?
Yes, it is.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Aye.
Okay. And we have an approval of a bingo license for St. Joseph's Church.
So moved.
Second. Okay, everything is in order?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? And any abstentions?
Aye.
Okay. That takes us to our vouchers.
Make a motion to pay the bills.
Second.
Any discussion on any of our bills?
Sure. On page 20. Now, I asked this question at the last meeting about with the new Comcast cable franchise, and I was told that the library and the schools were free. Why are we paying $80 for internet service for the library?
Because internet is not covered by the contract, only TV service.
I thought it was TV.
The library will get it, but the library does not have the connection yet.
What do you mean?
They have the connection through Verizon, I believe it is.
I think that's...
I don't remember who it is. But I know they don't have Comcast at this point.
I also think it's something that it's going to have to be maybe clarified further by the manager, but I also think it has to do with the library has Wi-Fi, and Comcast will not pay Wi-Fi so that people can go in, you know, with their laptop and...
They're supposed to provide internet service free to the library.
That doesn't include Wi-Fi. So that may, I don't know if that's what this is.
Okay, I understand what you're saying.
But, so...
All I have is in the minutes of the last meeting that you brought up about the same bill, and it says you asked about the Comcast charge, noting that you thought it was free, and Mr. Fallon stated that the television is free, internet is not.
Okay.
in the municipal building.
No, that was for the municipal building.
It doesn't say.
Okay.
But that was where it was, for the municipal building. That's specifically asked that question.
No, schools and libraries are supposed to get internet.
That's the way I understand it. Thank you. Can you check on that? Somebody's going to check on it?
Well, I know that the library does not have the Comcast connection as of yet.
Well, yeah, maybe because the whole, we just did this,
Right, but we can check on when that's going to be.
I don't know what the status of actually completing the whole renewal of the franchise agreement is. That's once that agreement is completed or whatever, then those things that were promised in there will take place. So that might be another reason why you're still seeing that.
Yes.
Okay, on page 17, municipal engineering service. It just says professional engineering service from 7/20 to 8/19, $1,210. Everything else is broken down. Like we got a $6,000 bill for the Pleasant Valley Dam, the parking oversight. What is general engineering services?
That's the retainer fee.
Yes. Okay. That's all he gets a month? I don't believe that for a minute. $1,210?
Well, the retainer fee was what, $45,000?
Okay, this is from 7/22 to August 19th. I don't believe that for a minute. If we could just check on that, please.
Anything else? There are none. May I have a roll call, please?
Higgins?
Yes.
Doyle?
Yep.
Lamer?
Yes, but I'm abstained from the soccer refunds for William Gleba on page 23.
Or anything from the fire department, please.
Hubble?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Elmore?
Yes. Hey, do you have any recap items to give us?
That's what I thought.
Let's see. Well, I can tell you I will let DPW supervisor know that they should plan on attending the streets committee meeting. That's September 13th.
Wow.
I will find out about the internet at the library and the status of the Comcast franchise agreement. I will find out about the $1,210 for the engineering fees. Is there anything else I'm missing?
The sign at the church?
Yes, the sign at the church. That's done.
Right.
And I guess we'll follow up with the toolkit for the manager for the traditional aid. Anything else that I missed?
Don't think so. Yeah. All right, council remarks. Councilman Valentine.
Nope, no remarks.
Councilman Housel?
Nothing.
Mrs. Gleba?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure how to go about it. There just never seems to be a good time at these meetings to do anything. It's something that I want to accomplish. There were a lot of things I wanted to accomplish. But as we start the RFP process, and I'm glad we've done that and we put them out for all the professionals, and especially with the new council members starting on also, I feel that we're lacking in a certain area, and I don't want the attorney to take it personally either, but I would like at the next meeting if we could amend our ordinance for the engineering division and the municipal attorney, because I've been doing research and looking at other towns, and ours is very inadequate as far as how much we include about powers and duties, and I think we need to start including a performance evaluation at least for the two those two professionals at the time being. And I have sample evaluation forms that we could use, and I'd be willing to work with other council members. And I have a copy of the Washington Township right here in Warren County, what they have for their ordinance for the municipal attorney. And I drafted one up for what ours could include. So I guess at this point I'm looking for agreement from council members that it would behoove us to start evaluating our professionals, so that we can
continue strong working relationships and, you know, let them know what's working for us and where we feel there's needs of areas of improvement. And I just feel, you know, we owe it to the, you know, the citizens, you know. We, you know, we have to, you know, have some kind of accountability. And we evaluate the manager evaluates our employees, and I think these professionals should also be evaluated. So I think the way to do that is to amend the current ordinance. But I'm not sure if I should be making a motion here or for the next meeting to have an amendment to the ordinance. I know you have to introduce an ordinance
and
all that.
Will you put something together already?
Mm-hmm.
I think the first thing we should do is all have a copy of it so that we can review it and make any comments that we may have on it.
Right.
And after that, then we can decide as a council whether to go forward with it.
Okay, so do you think then...
put it on as an agenda item for discussion for the next meeting?
Okay. Make a motion to have it as a discussion?
Do we have to have a motion?
Do we have to have a motion?
The council directs the manager to put it on here. Okay. Put it anybody right have on. Any objections with that being an item of discussion?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
For just those two or for everybody?
Just for those two that Mrs. Gleba has recommended.
If we do it for everybody.
Well, why don't you do it for, if you're going to do it for two, why not do it for all? Why not?
Well, I just think it would be, you really need very specific evaluation forms. So, I mean, I don't have information on how to evaluate an auditor.
How many positions are we talking
bond
about?
Bond attorney. I mean, there's quite a few. I mean, I just felt given a lot of the mistakes and problems we've had in the past,
yeah.
It was mainly with, you know,
legal
consultation and engineering, and they're also our most expensive professionals.
You're also asking for more than just an evaluation for, you know, changing the ordinance into duties and powers and responsibilities, correct?
Mm-hmm. And if you look at the current ordinance, I mean, I even think, like, for the engineer, it's called the engineering division, and it's on page, like, 337, and it says his term is for 3 years, and, you know, we do it.
It's statutory.
Excuse me?
That's statutory.
Statutory. Okay.
Well, I support the two professional areas that Janine had brought up. If you want to go for all of them,
yeah,
I think
all
of those
for discussion at the next.
Well, yeah, but like what Janine's saying is, what are you going to review them on?
Well, that'll give us time to review what it is. You know, we can get information.
I think it's something we really should look at.
Right. Well, I'm going to seek council's help on helping to determine the evaluation form for each of the professionals.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that a motion?
No, it's just a consensus that we'll have it as an item of discussion for the next meeting. Anything else?
That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Higgins.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the manager's not here, and a lot of this is going to go there, but I would like it on the record. Crosswalk lights are not working again. Need an update on that. We paid a lot of money for that crosswalk, and it's not working.
Is that again or still?
Still.
Still.
Well, they repaired it one time, DPW
did. A while
did.
Ago, right?
Yeah, but
this
it's been out now
hasn't been
a month and a half to 2 months. Like I said, we paid money, good money for it. I would like to have a dollar amount of the total refunds that we paid for the pool this year, whether it be swim team or whether it be for pool memberships. I noticed on the bill list that we, actually, it was 14, not 12. I counted. We had 14 soccer refunds that we paid back on the bill list. I'd kind of like an explanation as to why we did we do away with one particular program or why we didn't get a coach or what the reason was. And I'd like to know what the planning board planner has been paid year to date. All right, I'm going to save that one for last. Has the well pump been fixed at the park yet? Good question. I would like to see sometime in the near future, preferably before the first meeting in October, so that would give a month from now. I went a recreation report. Mrs. Gleba has asked for that in the past.
Well, again, he's
reiterated that he's going to do it after the, you know, pool is closed.
Pool's closed.
After the swim season.
It's closed. I'd like to see that by the first meeting in October, with an income and debt statement there. I also would like a report on expenditures for the police department that we can go from 2008 to 2009 when we paid them in August, from August 2009 to 2010, since they've been under the township's command. We're supposed to have an abandoned property report to us in June. It's now September. We don't have that. Let's see, the professionals, I was going to hit that. And there's something there about shared services that he put out. I don't know if that is general information or not. I had a, with the township. Is that for discussion? I mean, I don't want discussions to get going before...
From the email?
From the email, and then there was something else in my package that I didn't get in an email, and that was about the construction stuff, the code.
Yeah, well, we've had an offer from Mayor Albasani in regards to that.
When are we going to discuss that? At the next meeting? I want that on the agenda before any action's taken.
It would be. Can't take any action.
Well, wait, oh, no, 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 no. There's discussions that are taking place right now about the motor pool stuff that I don't know if everybody on the council is aware of.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I want that discussed at a council meeting before any discussions go any further.
It was just an informal discussion between the manager...
There was a request. There was a written request from Samir, from the mayor of Washington Township, making an offer. That needs to be discussed by this council. So I'd like to see both of those put on the agenda for the next meeting, please. I wanted to know, Terry, you said the garage is going to be done in 3 weeks?
I'm just going what the original estimate was from quite a while ago. Don't forget, it could be weather-related.
It was actually supposed to be done in August.
Then you have to wait for the CO and the various inspectors.
I think the manager said the CO was the third week. In September.
Third week of September, right.
Pretty sure.
Okay, also the sewer billing. You know, September was the first month that we did the quarterly, and I'd like a report to know how we did on that. You know what I mean? Monthly, we were at, what, like 98%, 99% of whatever? I'd like to know where we're at and how much it's going to cost us to catch us up with, oh, because we don't send out reminders. Do we? No. I'd like to know how much, you know, what the percentage was of the sewer bills that have been paid, please. And the question, the salary issues that were brought up with the rec department. That concerns me. That was just brought up here tonight on by two different people. And I believe I'm done.
Councilman Boyle.
Thank you, Mayor. I think Councilman Higgins hit on about the pool revenue. We really like to have those final numbers ASAP because we have to make that decision what's the status of that pool for 2011 season. We certainly want to be arguing that point in April and May with that pool opening up, supposedly. So that one, I think if you like highlight that, that one definitely has got to come forward. That's all I have for tonight. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I do have two things.
Mr. House.
Folks, if you didn't get to the first Friday down in downtown, they have a great car show the first Friday of each month, and they had good music this past Friday. It was really, really good. Good DJ. Second of things, my night classes have started up. They started tonight. So from here on in, I will be late getting to the meetings. My classes go from 6 to 8. And Scott and I have already talked about, since I'm deputy mayor, if you are out, give me a call, and I'll be here for 7:30. But depending on the number of students, I may not be able to end class early like I did tonight. So I may not be able to get here till about 8:30.
Okay.
Okay?
Then I would accept the motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you.